Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Phantomaxis. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, large show tonight. Walking Dead, Winona, Resident Alien, Debris, and Snowpiercer. And look, Karen is here. Let's everybody say hi to Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good.
Happy Tuesday.
Yes.
I heard you saying we've got like a bigger slate tonight. It's nice to see like TV coming back. I mean, not that we've been watching TV for the last year, but you know,
no.
New stuff.
Oh, look, Jamie's here.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
We're
good.
How are you?
Good. Before we started, because I'm afraid if I forget, if I don't do it now, I'm going to forget. I did just want to mention, and hold on, I'm looking for my, I hate Facebook sometimes. They keep changing it, and I'm trying to figure out where my messages are. But anyway, about that next week, Gary is going to be on our show. I'm just reminding everybody, Gary Morgenstein, to talk about his
Webster's.
My brain is bringing yeah, Webster's.
What's
called mini series? Like it's not right. Webster's.
Yeah,
yeah, Joyland. We will be posting his link on our social media page because he does not have a link yet. But I will post it for people who want to find it, and it will be premiering on Monday, so everybody can watch it before we talk on Tuesday. Hopefully people will listen, and also two of the stars of the show will hopefully be here, Rosalind Seal and Ellen Adair. So that's
oh, great.
Next week. So yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot
cool.
to talk about. Yeah, that'll be fun. So,
yes.
But
we
they'll all
do,
be on
yeah.
next week. So. But like I said, people can look for that link on. I'll put it up on Facebook and Twitter once I get the link from him. Because it'll be on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what do you guys want to start with? You want to do Walking Dead first?
Yeah,
let's
yeah,
why don't you guys
Walking
do Walking
Dead,
and Winona, and then we'll
right.
see the other thing.
Sure. So, sorry, I'm chewing chocolate. You can hear me. I'm, like, realizing I'm probably really loud. I took a Hershey kiss. Anyway, so I'm not sure how I felt about this episode. Me and you talked a little bit. Well, first, I'm glad... Obviously, that Robert Patrick was in it. That was awesome. Even if his makeup was done horribly, but that's a whole other issue. I'm guessing that maybe they have smaller makeup crews because of COVID and everything. At least I'm hoping that's why it looks so horribly bad.
So they only did one side of his face.
Yeah, I sent that picture to you. They had posted on an Instagram, and it looks like, and it, granted, it's possible it was just the angle that was taken, but it looks like the makeup only goes up to, like, a certain point on his face. Like, they just forgot
mm-hmm.
to fit it. I don't know. It looks really bad. But regardless of that, so, you know, for AJ's news we're talking about, basically he they come – this one's about Gabriel and Aaron, and they find this warehouse and a boar, which, yeah, they – I was kind of wondering why there was a boar trapped inside, but I thought maybe at first it was a wolf. I wasn't sure until they said it. But anyway,
I thought
so that
– got into a hole or something.
Yeah, yeah. So they kill it, they eat it, they drink this whiskey, and it ends up that Robert Patrick's character lives there. And because his brother supposedly betrayed him and stole food from him, he said he had to kill his family, and he's bitter. But he makes him play Russian roulette, and actually it seems like made his brother do that as well and kill his family. And partially probably pissed him off, too, even because his brother did that and let his family die instead of saving them. But Gabriel and Aaron are more willing to shoot themselves and won't kill each other, even though they both have daughters they want to see. And I thought that up in that till that point, the episode showing that they are family and that they look out for each other and that these people have kind of, I mean, not that Aaron was ever, you know, Gabriel's kind of let people die before to save himself. But it shows that kind of he had changed and it, I don't know, I thought it was really powerful. And they go through this whole thing and they, you know, convinced Robert Patrick's character, we're not going to kill each other. We're good. There are people in this world are good after, you know, Gabriel gives his speech about, shitty people. And then they finally talk him into it. He's going to go with them, and then Gabriel blasts. I can't remember. Oh, he smashes his head in with Aaron's hand, which he had removed. And that was definitely shocking. I didn't expect that. I will say that. I don't know. I mean, I get Walking Dead does things like that, but I just, it made it, to me, more tragic, and it was just kind of like shows, I guess, that I don't know if I want to say he has changed or he hasn't changed, because in a way he hasn't changed, but at the same time he's hardened, and it wasn't per se that he did that even to save his own life. I think he did it to protect the people back at the camp, and whether or not that was a good thing or not, I don't know. But then when they get up to the attic or wherever it was and they find his brother, like, they're willing to let him be safe and go with them. And I don't know, part of me wondered then, like, how do they know that everything that guy said was true to begin with? They really don't know, maybe, that considering they're twins, that things weren't the opposite way, but he kills himself, and it just kind of, I don't know, the whole episode's about that. I don't know how to feel. Like, I liked it in certain cases, but then it was kind of like it was such a, it went from good to bad really quickly, which just shows more of who these people in the show is. I don't know. What did you think? I thought it was a good episode, though. Definitely better than the Daryl one. What did you think?
I liked it. I mean, I will say, so that's a little bit of a leap there at the end to say they are willing to let this guy go with them. They barely,
well, they said
we saw,
they were,
90,
whether they
we saw 90 seconds of them trying to get him unhandcuffed, and they were like, okay, you can go with us, but they said the same thing to the other guy before they killed him.
That was kind of my point, what I was wondering.
Which is not to say I didn't make that leap also, but I liked this episode. I will say that I liked it more the longer I sat with it, but I kind of liked it when I was watching it. I have quibbles that we can talk about. I think what's most surprising is that this was two characters that I wouldn't consider to be characters if we're going to get six episodes and you told me there's going to be one devoted to Aaron and Gabriel, I'd be like, oh my God, what a gigantic waste of time. Why do we have to watch that?
Yeah, I would have
right,
even rather seen Negan and Aaron, I feel like. Not that I don't like Gabriel, but
no,
I really didn't know his story.
I mean, I particularly think Aaron is a more of a waste of time than Gabriel, or I would have before I saw this. I think, you know, I like this. I think Gabriel is a character who, I mean, I think early on we all hated him, not only because he was a coward, but because he was kind of like, why is this guy on the show, right? And he's turned into, like, a really good character in the last two seasons. And a guy that really has, like, I think you can, like, look at Gabriel and see a real character arc. And he has really developed and changed. I think it's kind of dumb that he's still wearing priest clothes. Like, come on. Like, I'm a Catholic. I've seen priests and nuns in normal clothes for a long time. And, like, that you would wear your collar, like that he's still wearing
like
a collar even
in real life normally, that all the time.
I mean, when priests go to the grocery store, they don't wear the uniform, right? Like that you're going on a supply run wearing your priestly garb is a little, unless he's wearing it as like a way that if people see him, they'll feel disarmed. I don't know.
I feel like if he's wearing it, he wants people to, I don't know necessarily feel that, but I feel like the fact that he wears it purposely, he wants people to feel something, or it makes him feel something. Because you're right, I mean, I know they don't have tons of clothes, but you would take the collar off if, like, it just doesn't, I don't know, they don't really talk about it.
And that he wears it, and yet, he ends up having this conversation with Aaron where I mean, it's not just in this episode, but I think it's been a question for a while, has Father Gabriel lost his faith? And he appears to have lost his faith in this episode where he says, like, evil people are the norm, you know, and he doesn't say it in a sense of, like, I'm a priest and I'm fighting evil. He's just like, yeah, Aaron, like, evil's
I've
the norm,
up,
and I've given up. And he kills so easily. Like, he kills Maze so easily, right? And like, Aaron, the look on Aaron's face, like, Aaron is the optimist. Aaron's the guy that wants to bring people back. And he's, like, so appalled by what Gabriel was saying. Gabriel's like, look, we couldn't. Like, it's so matter of fact that Gabriel's willing to do what he has to do, and that you could be a man of faith and yet also kill so easily. So I kind of like that, but you know, the more I sat with it, the more I liked it. I was like, oh, this is really pretty good. And Aaron was pretty – I mean, Aaron was good. I mean, the actor's name is getting
– Yeah, I was just going to say, sit with it, though. I think the question is, what is the right – I mean, that's kind of the whole point of the show, obviously, is the morality, but it's kind of like what Gabriel did was horrible, and it gives you a horrible feeling because this guy – let me – well, this is how I feel. This is what I was kind of going to say. This guy, like, is going to kill them. And he agrees to let them go, and he's, like, seems to be repentant. He seems to be like he was a good guy, and just like everybody else on this show, the situations has made him more turn some bad, and not that that's an excuse, I'm just saying. And it was just kind of like, they're safe. And then after the guy gives up his weapon and isn't going to kill him, then he turns around and kills him, backstabs, whatever you want to call it. And I get Aaron. It's kind of like, oh, my God. But my point is, as much as I feel like, oh, that was horrible, is what he did the right thing? Because he's doing it to protect the people they're going back from.
Yeah.
Should they have
yeah.
maybe given him a chance? I don't know. I mean, things have backfired for them when they've done the opposite. So the truth is, you don't know. And I don't know. I guess that's what I'm kind of saying, like, it sits with you, and you really have to think about, like, when people make choices, there's so much more that goes into the choices, you know, than,
yeah.
because we've seen both sides of this. I mean, we've seen them help people and it screw them too, so.
Yeah.
So I can see
both
sides.
Part was really the payoff. Like, if this was just some buddy trip going, like, they go to find supplies, they get drunk, they have a heart-to-heart, they go home, that would have been a boring episode. But when Robert Patrick enters, then it becomes this whole different episode, right? I mean, I guess, like, if he wasn't a, like, taking away that he's a priest, like, if it was, like, if you and I are there and this crazy guy is, like, holding us at gunpoint, we'd tell him whatever we needed to say to let him put out the gun, and then we'd kill him, right? I mean, they can't leave him behind. They can't leave Mace behind, definitely, because he heard them talk all night long, and he knows about Alexandria, he knows about everything, right? So they
yeah,
either take him with or they kill him, right? They either take him or they kill him. And is he just too crazy and dangerous? Probably. Although, Maze, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Maze never says he killed his brother and his family. He says, I handled it.
Yeah. Assume he did.
Yeah. And then
he
handled
his brother
it, right?
to kill him.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think I told you when we were watching the show and I was texting you that I found the Russian roulette to be a little bit derivative. And lazy. Like, I know, like, okay, so is it an homage to, like, you know, The Deer Hunter, the most famous Russian roulette scene ever, right? There's a,
I
do you know
seen
the
that,
movie The
I
Deer
don't know.
Hunter?
I was thinking about Pusher on X-Files. Oh, there you go.
It's a very famous, okay, so yeah, also on X-Files. It's a very famous movie about Vietnam where the prisoners, the Viet Cong forced the American prisoners of war to play Russian roulette. And it's sort of an iconic scene in American film history. And that you're
yeah,
also referencing...
They have them put it to their own head, though, right? That's what I thought was interesting. He's like, you have a
yes,
choice.
Put it
you
to their own head. Put
work.
It to their own head.
Because that
yeah.
was one thing
and
I think was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And you're referencing The X-Files. So it's a thing we've seen before. And so when I
yeah.
watched it, I felt it wasn't, like, terribly original. And I started to lose a little bit of interest at the scene. And I texted you also... I felt pretty confident that neither of these two characters would die in an episode that really was never intended to even ever see the light of day. Like, these episodes are extras that were thrown in
yeah,
because
I hadn't
of COVID,
thought
right?
about that, or I would have been less worried. After you
right?
said it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess
yeah.
that was dumb. I should have thought of that.
I mean,
yeah,
I
but I do
thought
like
the
that
two
he
of
gave
them...
them choice. I mean, I think that's also
yeah.
what made it important. It wasn't just that they were forced to do this. It's that they each
yeah.
were willing
well,
to sacrifice
thicker.
Themselves
it's
for the other. Yeah, yes, it
well,
makes it sicker.
It's even sicker, right?
Yeah.
I did feel, did you feel like, I was always like, just shoot him. Like, every
I
time
know.
Robert Patrick, he turns
oh my God,
a
bunch I have so many times I thought that on Snowpiercer
I mean,
today, too. But, yes, just tell him why he's not suspecting it. Shoot him in the head. So
I also wonder where he got a gun with so many bullets that he's willing to waste them. Like, when Gabriel's like, you have no bullets, he shoots, like, 20 bullets into the ceiling. And I was like, gee, you have a lot of bullets that you're willing to waste them. But I felt like every time he turned his head, like, Aaron had a chance to shoot him or the other way. He talked, like, right? I mean,
yeah.
I guess they were unwilling to risk
like when
it,
I've
but
said
if you're
shoot
putting
Negan before, that somebody could have shot
I
him
I mean,
all
if you're
that
putting
time.
A gun to your own head and likely to die anyway, like, maybe try it. So it was a little,
yeah.
that, I was, like, a little frustrated. But it kind of, I mean, it pays off in the end. I got to say, I thought, so I might be wrong, but I thought Robert Patrick was being introduced as a series regular. I didn't know that it was a one-off.
I did too, but I hadn't really read about it. But I kind of assumed that, I guess, too, because he's
yeah.
a bigger actor. You would think they'd try to get him for a longer,
yeah.
a longer piece.
So that surprised me. That surprised me even more when Gabriel kills him, and I'm like, wait, I actually rewound it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a huge puddle of blood coming out of his head. It's definitely dead. And then
yeah,
they
then
go upstairs. Then I'm going to meet the twin brother, and I'm like, oh, that's what it's going to be. The twin is going to be the regular character, and this maybe irreparably broken man is going to be the character that joins them. And then, boom, he does also, right?
Yeah, maybe we should have thought because it was one of the extra episodes. But, yeah, I kind of assumed that. I mean, like I said, I never really read up on it, but I just assumed he was going to be in a longer role. So I would have liked to see him in the show.
That kind of made it pay off more for me because I was expecting him to be on the show.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to see him, but it really like, you know, the shock paid off for me a lot in that respect. So you and I talked a little bit about the direction, the cinematography, which neither one of us loved. I know that, you know, they're shooting on digital now, which is why it looks so crisp and different. That's part of the reason why the look is different, but they're like this, like, so I'm not sure.
It seems like the depth of field was off, or like maybe they used a different, like, length of lens or something. I don't know.
It was
everything
in the
foreground was real short. Yeah, but it doesn't look like that usually on other shows, and a lot of them are shot in digital.
I think the director and the cinematographer, I think I texted you, just had this trick of, like, let's focus on something in the foreground, particularly every time a zombie was being murdered. They focus on, like,
that's what I said, everything else they blurred
out.
A
flower in the foreground, right, and blurred out stuff. I mean, granted. Yeah. I wonder if that's because they don't want to shoot Gabriel 1 foot away from an extra because they're breathing COVID on each other. I'm like, do you not want to show this close-up action? And is that why you cut to, like,
that's true.
Julie?
They could even be standing further away than they look, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if they were just trying to be artistic or if it was to hide the characters.
And that's
not
the thing. I don't mind artistic. I mean, I like when they do different things, but I found it very distracting. I don't know if it was just me, but it just kept bugging me. It made me think of when you turn, like, the CineMotion on the TV to, like, stop the blur of, like, fast motion scenes or, like, the way they film British soap operas. Like, I don't know. It just gave me that weird, like, it just didn't fit, and it kept irritating me. And I think it's great to be creative, but it shouldn't be distracting me from watching this story. There is one thing I want to ask you, though, before I forget, that has to do with Robert Patrick's character. I always try to think, because we said before, even with, like, granted, Negan was horrible, not saying he wasn't, but we've talked before about how, like, Rick's people attack Negan and, like, from looking at it from the other point of view, and that what they did wasn't right and everything. So before anything happened, I was looking at it kind of like trying to decide if he was bad or good before we knew. And I thought maybe he wasn't bad because I'm thinking everything he did, he didn't really do anything. Okay, because he locked Aaron in a room. At that point, we didn't know if he was dead. I didn't think he was, but he locked him in a room. He took his hand. Okay, he's right. It's a weapon. How does he know that Aaron isn't going to try to kill him, or how do we know Aaron didn't try to kill him? You know, you don't know. And, like, these people came. They took his food. They took his alcohol, and they just kind of stole it and are like, hey, we're here. And I was thinking at it from his point of view and thinking, yeah, they just broke in. And I kept thinking, you know, why doesn't Gabriel be like, well, you know, we'll go hunting for you. We can get you something else. You know, this is not on purpose. But I don't know. That's what I was thinking at the beginning and just kept thinking, like, this doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad person because I could see what he was doing. And then obviously he was.
Yeah. I mean,
at that point,
I thought
I was just
that
kinda,
also.
Like,
I will say his door wasn't locked. He didn't really try very hard to secure. Like, they just were able to walk right in. And they did go around saying, hello, hello, is anyone here,
True.
Right? Like, they weren't really trying to steal.
No, they didn't do it all purpose.
Like, if he had come out, they might have been, I think, right, like, in this world, it's reasonable to assume whoever put that place together might be dead.
Yeah, and
but
if he didn't come out and stop them when he heard them, it's kind of his own fault, too.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely, I mean, okay, if it's 2-1, yeah, maybe you're going to hide and, like, but at any point, he could have come out with his gun and been like, right? Like, I mean, I guess hard to say. He's definitely crazy.
Oh, yeah. And how do you live with three bodies and that stench and not, like, nobody can
do
that?
That was his main place. He was going upstairs to feed the brother. He was keeping his stuff up there. He was, right? Like,
maybe he wasn't living with him up there. I assumed he was living up there, too. I'm not even sure why. Yeah, he was probably living in the main building, but it's just...
No, but he had supplies up there. Like, he had all the supplies
up there.
All of everything was up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was governor level of, like, craziness and sickness to, like, he tortured his brother for, like, I mean, he forces his, I mean, I guess, I guess the brother chose to shoot his wife and child rather than kill himself. Which,
right, that was kind of the point. That's what he's saying, you won't choose yourself. That was the whole point. He was trying to force Aaron and Gabriel to shoot each other because he was saying everybody would make the same choice. But, of course, at that point, we didn't know that.
Well, and who knows what you would do in that situation, right? Like, I mean, it's a situation that none of us could comprehend. And you and I who don't have children, really, I can't really say if I would shoot myself before my child or whatever.
They both have children to get back to. But, yes, I would hope
you'd
shoot
yourself
before
your child. I don't know what a person would choose to do in that situation. This character apparently shot his wife and child instead of himself. And then, as if that's not torture enough to live with, but then the brother forces him to live with the rotting corpses for the next 10 years or however long it is, right? And it's really no surprise that the guy killed himself, which I guess he wishes he would have done in the first place, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see how that person could ever have adjusted. But I think Maze was sort of living up there. Like, he probably hit up there a lot, right? Like, if anybody, like are Gabriel and Aaron the first people to come by? Actually, that brings up a question for me. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this place not being on the map? Maggie had given them this detailed map of buildings to search, and this building is not on the map. And I wonder if that's just...
I hadn't even thought of it. I kind of assumed this was... They were saying about looking for the place. I didn't even think about it. I just assumed this was like one of the last places, but you're right. They were on the way trying to find the other place. I had not even thought about that. I mean, the places on the maps were ones they searched. I mean, maybe they had searched there before that guy was there.
There were places Maggie had never searched. The map said, like, places that aren't searched, possible food. And they were searching them because Maggie had never searched them.
Right, that's
and
what I
place
mean.
Not
this
on the map.
Was one of those places. And no, it wasn't.
No,
okay,
this place was not on the map.
Okay,
They made a comment like, oh, this is not on the map. Let's check it out. And they go in there. I'm not saying Maggie left it off on purpose. I just wonder if that will ever come back to us or not. I would probably assume
since she hadn't gone to that part of the map, maybe she just didn't know what was there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the most likely thing. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good. I agree with you. It was better than last week's Daryl episode, which was not horrible, but was lacking in, like, this was just a more fully fleshed out story. I felt like this was a good bottle episode. Haha, they drank all that. They drank that bottle. Like, this was a more of a story that told us, like, this episode told us something about the characters. Where I'm not sure if we learned anything about Daryl. I mean, okay, so he knew this woman, but we never, like, I didn't get any insight into Daryl's character, or it didn't, like, feed into his story arc or whatever in any way. Like, this episode, I think, really, like, told us something about Gabriel.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
We had three so far. This is the best of the three. We've had three, right? Of these,
yeah.
Like,
the Maggie one
episodes,
was
this
sad.
Is the best.
I mean, I liked the first one, too. I just didn't like
this
the
was better.
One.
No, the Reaper was
annoying.
Yeah,
this was better.
The
other one was more, felt more connected to the story. Like,
yes,
I had
did.
Forgotten how you, had, until after, like, that they were extra episodes. Like, I had just thought that was part of the story. But I guess that's just because Maggie came back and we got to see her earlier that it made it feel like that. But, yeah, I think this one was more impactful. I don't love this grouping off the characters. I know it's going to happen. What I don't understand, though, is why all productions seem to be different. Some shows are making episodes and keeping everybody in close proximity and just testing them all the time and keeping them... separated from other people. So I don't quite understand why certain shows are like, we have to only shoot X amount of people together to keep them safe, when not all places are doing that. Like, I don't understand the reasoning behind why some are different than others. You know what I mean?
Depending where you shoot your show, there are different local laws about how many people can gather together. And you have different case positivity rates and different infection rates and different, right? You have all that, different labor laws, all that stuff is different. And I guess you just have different different.
I just sometimes
sort of
wonder if it's the group
the
of what they're willing to do too. Like, I kind of feel like Walking Dead, these people, because this is such a big show and these people are so rich, they can kind of, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't mean that like a rude way. I mean, if I had a family, I wouldn't want to do it either. I'm not saying they're not right for that. But I just kind of wonder if they're kind of like, hey, we are in our contract. We can do what we want because we're more important and you're going to listen to us and we're not filming together.
I just kind of wonder sometimes. I think only Reedus and McBride have series contracts and everybody else just gets paid by the episode, whereas they get paid for the season.
Right, but I guess I'm saying because I feel like because this show is full of bigger stars and it's more important that they can somewhat control, I don't want to say control, and I don't want to sound the rude way, because like I said, if I had a family, I would want to do that too.
No.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm just saying I kind of wonder if some actors are like, hey, I'm not risking my life for this.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to do this.
And I think, I mean,
and then other shows, they're more comfortable doing it. I just kind of wonder.
I mean, I
sometimes.
Think that's like, that's like any my own workplace. It's like you don't do anything you don't want to do right now. You don't want to come to the office, don't come to the office. You don't want to get in a plane, don't get in the plane. I think also a show that's shot in Georgia is going to have very different rules than a show that's shot in Canada in terms of local law.
Right.
In terms of what
you're
the industry is committed to, because what the industry is committed to is a different ballgame. And I think you know there's real commitment to safety in all shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't mean to imply that any show is not.
No, and that's what I'm saying, too. Like, granted, I'd rather them film a good show. I mean, as a viewer, I'm not going to, like, be like, oh, I'm happy to do it, you know. But, no, I totally, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think they're smart to not do that. I think of, like, even when we watched, now, granted, we watched, what's the one, with that sheriff, I'm blanking on my name. I don't know why sometimes I just totally forget names. I could see it in my head and can't think of it. No, with the sheriff that was took the girls. The Big Sky.
Yeah,
I'm like, totally had to get the. Like, now, granted, they didn't have necessarily intimate scenes together, but, like, the people filmed together. It was a small cast, but they're interacting, and it's definitely a lot more people than, like, Walking Dead. And I just kind of, like, was thinking about it, wonder, like, why is that one okay and other ones aren't? I mean, they're having shows where people are kissing, and I'm, you know, again, I just was thinking out loud and just kind of, like, it's interesting that some shows do and some shows don't. And, again, not saying they should be doing that. But it's just, if you think about it, it's kind of strange that everybody seems to have different roles. But I guess also it depends when they went into production, too, because the ones they're filming now that maybe don't take as long to produce a show are going to probably have different roles than
they learned a lot more,
ones
yeah.
that, yeah, that did it back then, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. Those are interesting points. That's interesting to think about. Let's talk next about a show that is filmed. So Wynonna is our next show to talk about, right? And it was filmed at a different time. I mean, so this.
Wynonna was filmed before COVID. Or no. I take that back.
No.
These episodes were held because of COVID. Some of them
were. These episodes were held because of COVID. I guess they weren't finished with post. Some of them were not done. The whole season wasn't done. Some were shot. Some were not shot. Some were in post. We saw the Halloween episode. So this was shot maybe last summer.
So whether or not there was COVID around when this was filmed, we don't know. But
we don't know. But we do see a group. We do see actually a pretty decent sized group of people, particularly in the last scene. You know, we saw a couple of group scenes. I don't know what that means about when it was shot, but it was kind of funny to be watching the Halloween episode in March.
I know. Yeah, it wasn't even meant to be ironic. It was just, I thought that too when I watched it.
Yeah,
didn't mind
depends.
It. It was just a little strange there. But, I mean, I think this was a pretty good episode. It gets you into some of what's going on this season. I will say, though, I was a little confused at the beginning when I seen this. I thought when I watched it until I realized what was going on, I thought that guy, the extractor or whatever, I thought that he, like, made them, I don't want to say make them forget, but I thought, like, he created the fog, I guess. I thought, like, that was his power first. I didn't realize that he got, I think he just, like, teleported or something and they ended up in the fog, I guess. I don't know. But, I don't know. I was confused by that. I didn't get that he just, like, took them in there, and I completely misunderstood that when I first watched this, so I don't know.
I thought that he led them into the cloud because of a more, like, evil or nefarious purpose. And it really turns out, I think, that he led them into the fog more because he was scared and to try to get away. Like, he's a little bit of a, I mean, he's a little bit, what's that guy's real name?
The one that was from the cooking, the chili contest.
The chili guy, the chili cook-off guy. And those were some kind of funny jokes.
Yeah. well, no, yeah,
he
was but no, I thought at first he created, like, the whole fog thing that made him, like, I didn't get at first what was going on. I don't know, for whatever reason, I just took it different. And then I got after that the fog was there all along. It was just he took him in there, and see, that didn't quite make a lot of sense to me when I first watched it. But it made more sense.
So
after.
It's Casey. That's his name. So I just
yes.
I mean, Casey's a little bit of a comedy kind of a guy.
Yeah,
character.
He's
and
funny.
I didn't think Casey necessarily I don't know. I thought Casey
was
in
there. He didn't create
the
fog. That's what I thought when I was watching.
And I don't know if I don't know if I really thought about who created the fog, but I thought Casey led them in there because at first I thought he was really trying to trick them and get Peacemaker because he wanted to use it, but I watched it, I was like, oh, he just wanted to get away from them, and he just sort of, you know, I mean, he knew the fog was there. He wore a gas mask, and by the end of the episode, it was, you know, like, Jeremy's making this big deal about the fog, and I'm like, but wait, you can just wear a gas mask and be impervious to the fog, right? Like, nobody tried that except for demons. But,
there's more with the fog. I don't want to go too much into the fog. Make sure I don't say something I shouldn't say. But the fog's a problem. In the town, they can't leave because of that.
Yeah.
But we didn't learn
that till the end. I mean, it was mostly about Jack Pumpkin, Mr. Pumpkinhead, or whatever his name is. Who? It's funny because the demon of the week was barely at all. He didn't even do anything. He was like a total non-character. Like, demon of the week was more like
the
people talked about.
Yeah.
And we're afraid.
Yeah.
He killed a couple of red shirts, not even red shirts, a couple of nameless nothing. I guess that's what a red shirt is, a nameless nothing character, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the point. Of shirt, but yeah.
But he didn't, I mean, he didn't even really stalk Winona or Waverly. He did, like, it was funny that the big bad demon of the week was sort of like a nothing who was just sort of peripheral. And really with
Demon,
was sort of more the
joke. Because he always went after the ones, I guess, on the cards, and they were doing their whole betting thing.
He didn't go after the ones on the cards. Like, he went after who he went after, and they were guessing who he went after. Like, the cards had nothing to do with making him go after them. They were guessing
it was my understanding, and granted, I watched this quite a while ago, but it was my understanding that, like, his victim pool was always those type of characters. And they were betting on it. That was what I got out of it. But I may be misremembering, too. It's been a while.
No.
But that's
my
not really relevant. The point is there is an angel there, and that's why he went after Waverly, which was the whole
No. That's not why he went. That's not why he went after Waverly.
Or not why he went
Waverly.
After. The fact that he did go. Yeah, but she was dressed as an angel. I mean, I felt like.
Well, she is an angel.
She became. Right. But she was also dressed as an angel, so that I feel like that's why she became the victim. Like, he put them there in his path. You know what I mean? He tied them up, and he's like, hey, come get them type of thing.
Because he wanted to make money.
Right. But anyway, that part wasn't the part, the important part. You know what I mean? The important part was that they were going to kill Waverly. But I liked it that Jeremy did that there. But, I think what was funny, though, I liked is, like, to kill the demon, all he has to do is to blow his candle out. It's like, really? Like, he didn't even have to use Peacemaker. It was funny.
That was kind of funny, yeah.
Yeah.
What was Stock supposed
to be dressed as was my other thing.
Freddie Mercury. He was dressed as Freddie Mercury. That was hilarious.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I don't know that, so that's fine.
Yeah. That was a Freddie Mercury costume. So it was funny that he was dressed as, I mean, that Doc would be dressed as that person. Freddie Mercury is, like, the most un-Doc-ish person I could think of, right? This, like, you know, famous rock star and gay icon. I thought was kind of funny. I did enjoy watching the characters run around in Halloween costumes for most of the episode, and they were really good. Like, that ladybug costume was so cute. I want to wear that. I'm getting a text. Is that text telling us to talk faster?
No, I'm answering somebody. Somebody's asking me something. I was trying to answer them and still listen. Sorry about that.
So I love that. And it was, like,
yeah,
the real
it was
thing
funny they thought
was, like,
they were
sister time,
each other.
Right?
Yeah, but it was also cute that she's, like, they thought they were each other, and then she thought she was a cop. And Of course, she still likes her booze and everything. Yeah, it was funny. I thought he kind of looked like, I don't know, it kept reminding me of the outfit. And I'm just, like, off my head reminding me. It probably didn't look anything like that. But it kept reminding me of Fifth Element, or kind of like the one from Guardians of the Galaxy, but wrong color. I was like, I'm thinking if it was red, it was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
and it was red.
That leather,
I'm like, well, maybe
that
they
leather,
couldn't copy it, so then I wasn't sure.
The shape of that leather jacket, and he had these, you know, I mean, he did have, I mean.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that was just before
the
my time.
The shape of that jacket was a little,
okay.
So, I think, you know, so it's obvious that Winona is really jealous of Waverly being engaged. In a way that that surprises me, or maybe not being engaged. It's not like I feel like Winona really wants to have a wedding, but that she's with the person she loves. Like, Winona is having trouble with this, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's that she's jealous, per se. I think it's that she's hurt because she's not with Doc. And, yeah, it's like she wants to be with that person and can't be. It's not so much that she's like, oh, Waverly has a girlfriend type of thing. It's more like she doesn't have what she wants and it's hurting her. She's using that as an excuse, kind of. I don't know. That's
also,
how I feel. Comes from a place of pain.
This is the second episode in a row where Winona has, like last week she was drunk. This week she was, like, on,
Winona's
like, high on the cloud. But last week, she was always drunk. But Winona has, like, for a couple episodes now said multiple times, like, oh, you're so perfect. Everyone loves you. Like, she's a little, and granted, who is not a little bit sick of that everybody loves Waverly bullshit that's been going on since season one, right? It is kind of annoying. But Winona has said it multiple times the last 2 weeks, like, you're so perfect. Everyone loves you. Everyone loves Waverly. And, like, you know, and it is kind of, like, grossing me out how much she and Nicole make out all the time, not because they're women, just because, like, wouldn't you, like, who
it's
wants to be around two people that never stop making out, right? Like,
I know, you'd be
like,
probably pissed,
God,
too, and be like, I want a boyfriend, damn it. But no, I don't know. I feel, though, like, with Winona, I feel like a lot of it comes from, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it comes from her pain because she's doesn't have, and not just that she doesn't have Doc, but I think she's also jealous of Waverly, or jealous of Nicole in the sense that she doesn't have her sister as much because she's with Nicole all the time. Like, she feels like she doesn't have anybody.
I don't think
it's like a regular jealousy, but she's definitely like sad that she's alone, I guess. I don't know.
And she, I mean, at the end of last week when she slept with Eamon, she said, like, I'm tired of apologizing for who I am, right? Which, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with that. Like, Doc is mad at her because she shot, she shot the guy in the back. And Doc, I don't, like, how can Doc get past that? But to say, like, he won't forgive me for who I am. Like Winona didn't. Like, I've seen Winona.
But Winona wasn't sorry for
away.
What she did either. She never once said she was wrong. I think that's the problem. If she went to him and she said, you know, I thought through what happened and that was like horrible of me, I think maybe he would forgive her. But she's just like, no, this is who I am. I can do what I want,
she was wrong.
And that's part of the problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen her, like, she lets other demons, like, she lets other demons live all the time, right? And that guy wasn't even a demon. That guy was a human.
Yeah, at the beginning she didn't. She was just killing demons. But then the whole point of the show was she learned
and she shot him in the back.
Not all demons are evil demons. I mean, that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
But now she's kind of like on this rampage of killing demons. And I think, again, that's from a place of pain. But that, I would just say that that kind of, that whole attitude does become more of a problem.
Because they called the truce, and then she shot him in the back. Actually, it's kind of not unlike what we just talked about on The Walking Dead. It's very unlike it, but yet on The Walking Dead, it's almost like Gabriel, like, talked Maze into a truce and then immediately killed him, right?
Right, except he wasn't going to go after her. I mean, I guess it's possible he could have, but we're to assume that he would have let her go, and that's why
that horrible. Doc and Clinton made a truce in good faith. And then
he wouldn't
shoot you. So for her to be like, I'm sorry, I can't apologize for who I am, is a little bit like, sometimes you have to apologize.
Yeah, you need to realize what you did was wrong. I think she needs to realize
I agree with you that it comes from her pain. I mean, she's a character who's been in pain since the moment we met her in episode one on the bus,
too.
Right? What do you think about Doc throwing Eamon to the crowd in the last scene? To the crowd of demons and being like,
you know,
Eamon's a jerk, but is he that much of a jerk? Like,
I don't know. I feel like that was kind of the same. I feel like a lot of that with Doc is because he was pissed because he slept with Winona. And I don't know that's a reason to let him get killed by his people. I feel like it was a little
okay,
much.
So Doc is also...
He did try to get Waverly killed, though, if nothing else.
Doc's very protective of Waverly. Very protective of Waverly. Right?
Yeah.
So there's that
also. I think
also.
It's just
but still.
Heyman's been in it in a while, and he didn't seem like a bad guy. I mean, he was, like, not a great guy, but, like, he's a funny guy. He's kind of like the last episode he was part of the story, and we'd even said how he became more of a character, and then now he's kind of like, nope. And, it did feel a little harsh. But thinking about it, he did almost get them killed, so I can kind of understand it. But for Doc, with everything that happened, it seemed like it was a little surprising.
I was just a little surprised to see him, like, not be a character anymore all of a sudden. I mean, I presume he's dead, right? We presume those guys killed him. And I guess it's
I'm trying to remember if they
me.
Even did. I can't even tell you.
Well,
I won't tell you the truth because I honestly don't even remember. I'm trying to remember.
They all sort of jump on him at the end, and the implication is that they're going to tear him to pieces, right?
Yeah, that's the implication, definitely.
And kill him. And he's been a jerk and a bad boss.
Yeah, I was surprised because I thought he was going to be, regardless of what happens, because I honestly don't even remember. I've watched them so while ago. But I was surprised after last week that happened. He did that.
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
I will say, too, this was another one that was like a separate storyline. We will get back into the story of everything that was going on more so than this. It's just these ones. I don't want to say next week because I can't remember the order. I'd have to look it up. But it is coming that they are going to start resolving things. I just want people to know that, like, since they really haven't gone into it so much.
They're not just leaving those stories alone. That
right.
Happen,
they will get back to everything that was going on, all the mythology and everything.
Yes.
I
have confidence in that. Oh, so, I mean, there was this other really heartbreaking thing that happened this week where we saw Robin. Robin has lost his memory. Like, we didn't know that, like, Robin also has a new face.
Oh, yeah.
So there was that. But
yeah, that was
to,
so
but...
horrible. And it's horrible for Jeremy. Is this the one with the coffee?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm...
Yes, where he's going to the support group and drinking coffee.
Okay, yeah, I want to make sure
it didn't
spoil
that.
It's not written here.
It turns out that there's Robin and he's lost his memory, and then we only find out at the end because of the fog, but that, you know, stuff...
And it was because of him helping him and everything, and that's why he kind of blames himself. But yeah, that was really sad.
Yeah. I complained a little bit earlier in the season, this part of the season and last season, about Nicole so traumatized about being alone for 18 months while Waverly and Winona were in the garden, and she did all these things that are not cool. And I have sometimes felt like it's not earned, and that I don't understand how Nicole could do this, but now we see, like, trauma that Jeremy's gone through in the 18 months they were gone, and he's held it to himself, right? Like, that was so heartbreaking that he goes every week to see Robin, and he's
Robin's
hoping
his already
got
his boyfriend, and he can't even, like, he's not even trying to get him back. He's like, he doesn't want to hurt him again. Yeah, I found that to be very, very sad and emotional. I did like that they had that.
Yeah, and it's funny because I had kind of forgotten about Robin because...
Yeah, I had too. I
like,
at first didn't realize it was him.
No, and they explain it like he's got a new face.
It was like a tree. There was something to do with a tree, wasn't there? Like he was attacked by a tree or turned into a tree or something.
Not last season.
With Jeremy. I can't remember.
Yeah, but I forgot about him because they weren't together that long, and Robin was always a little bit of a comic part of the show, right? And I totally forgot about him. I totally forgot that Jeremy had a boyfriend that he was in love with in all of this. And so it was interesting to see him. I guess maybe big Jeremy fans haven't forgotten. And we'll probably see this episode.
But it's sad, too, because he's, like, let him go. Like, he isn't even if he does love him or whatever, he's kind of like, that would just make it even worse, you know?
Well, he did say that he's putting a little bit of the antidote in his coffee every week, hoping it will take. But it hasn't worked yet.
Right.
So,
but he watches them go out with somebody else. I'm just saying, like, that's got to be even harder. It's not even like trying to get him to remember and tell me. That's what I took out of it, but.
I don't know if that's true. Robin says he has a boyfriend, but I took it that Robin can't, like, every almost like 51st dates, like, he can't remember anything. And, like, the next day he doesn't remember, maybe. When he said, I have a boyfriend, I wondered if he really has a boyfriend.
Oh, I thought he just forgot his previous life. I don't think
it,
I think it messed with his head because he was in there so long, but I thought it just, like, erased
yeah.
his previous memory, but maybe...
Yes,
maybe right
I don't know if he can make new memories. I didn't know if him saying, I have a boyfriend, was just some sort of, like, vague whatever. It's not clear. At any rate,
yeah, I don't know.
I think it left a little hope that somehow he could be... I mean, this is the last season, and I think it left a little hope open that somehow his mind could be restored and he and Jeremy could be together. Just the fact that he's like, oh, I'm putting it in this coffee every week, hoping that something will happen
yeah.
that it never does. I felt it left an opening for Jeremy to get a happy ending at the end of the season. Waverly and Nicole are going to get married. We all hope that Doc and Winona will get together, and it would be nice then for Jeremy and Robin to be able to get together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. They haven't sent the finale yet, so I don't even have an answer to that.
I don't know. So let me tell. So this will not be a spoiler. Was there a Christmas episode yet?
No.
Did you see a Christmas? No. We only got a Halloween episode.
I don't think there was anything Christmas. I'm thinking of a Christmas episode, but I'm pretty sure that was before. But I think it was the way the timing was.
I guess had this run normally, it would probably have ended like right before Christmas. Would have been this season, the series finale.
Yeah.
At any rate, I thought it was pretty good. I liked last week. I liked this week. I liked the sort of monster of the week-ish kind of episode that still played around a little bit with the overall storyline. Like, there was still, like, the cloud definitely is a long-term thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The relationships are a long-term thing, BBD. But I thought it was a good,
yeah.
It's nice to not always have a heavy canon episode. I'm going to miss this show when it goes on. I wasn't sold on it when it started, but you told me to watch it, and I'm going to miss it when it goes.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it a lot. You know, though, I had forgotten that, because somebody was telling me about they just started watching it. This show was like a different show at the beginning. Like, it was a lot, like, more
mm-hmm.
serious and darker, and I had completely forgotten that, and they're telling me, like, what happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Like, it kind of changes tone, I feel like. Because I remember at the beginning, it was definitely different. It got a lot better, I think. I mean, not that it wasn't good before, but I mean, a lot of it shifted as time went on.
Well,
now
I
don't want to say it's like
much,
never
I mean,
serious. I don't mean that, but I mean it's got a different.
I mean, it's not about the Revenants anymore, right? Like it was. I mean, yeah. I think you're right. I think it has a lighter tone and a more comedic tone than it used to.
Yeah, and at least they quit. The other thing is, and granted, it worked because it was meant to be silly, but in the first season, they always had those awful effects with the demons, like, melting into the ground. Like, I feel like that wasn't, did it, but, like, it seemed like more like it wasn't meant to be funny, like it was meant to be serious, but it, like, was totally never serious because it didn't work. Because I think about that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that because we don't get that now. So I'm glad they don't have that part at least. But you're right, it's not about Revenants now. So, all right.
Yeah.
I think
that's
about it for this episode.
All right.
I will say, if anybody has any questions they want to send me, there's another junk, and I'm talking to both Melanie and Tim again.
Ooh, I might have some questions.
On Tuesday. So people can send them through Twitter. So that's coming up, along with a bunch of other interviews that day. They're for a bunch of other NBC shows and stuff. So I need to catch up on a bit. All right, well, let's you ready to move on, or unless you have something else?
Let's move on.
Okay, do we want to do Poser? I don't know why I was going to say Poser. Resident Alien, Snowpiercer, or Debris? Which do you want to do first?
Let AJ choose what we're going to talk about.
Oh, let's see. Let's do... Mm-hmm. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
here you go.
We're just waiting.
Okay.
I didn't hear you.
Let's do the one that I think Karen likes the least first, Resident Alien.
Okay.
Was I right? Is that the one you like the least, Karen?
You're right. Yeah, I'm just not, you know... and this week, I'm trying to remember what happened this week. So this week, Harry helped Max to not get sent away to the school, right? That's this week?
Right. Yeah.
In return for Max helping Harry somehow. Harry found out that Max the genetic defect that allows Max to see Harry also allows him to see the glow of Harry's device.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut a deal.
Yes.
Harry, like, needs this kid, so they cut a deal. And then in other news, the girls got high, right? Was that this week or last week?
I
don't
remember.
Essentially.
Watching bowling.
Well, Harry,
got,
Harry
high.
Got high, too.
Oh, yeah, they all got high together, yes.
Because Harry's wife
I can't remember.
Finally.
But, yeah,
this one,
I know the one part's about Max's parents. I'm trying to see.
Oh, yeah,
and
they
a thing
had
with
a little,
them. Oh, yeah, they were. Because this thing with them with him at the octopus tank, which was, like, funny and weird.
Oh, my God.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he
yeah.
was talking to his dead counterpart. So, yeah, this must have been where he got high.
Yeah. And then they had a resolution of this thing with the prescription pad also this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know,
yeah.
I got to say, I like the show. It's funny. I'm enjoying it. But I honestly think I'd enjoy it more if we didn't actually cover it on the podcast.
I know, because Karen runs it down every time.
Well, no,
like,
no,
so
that's not why.
And then she pulls it apart. No, that's
not why. It's me, myself. It's like when I'm watching it and I'm not, like, if I'm just watching
you
it to enjoy it,
I
enjoy it. If I'm watching it and I'm thinking about things I want to talk about on the podcast, I
you're
start dissecting
all the problems
it.
With it. Yeah.
I start dissecting it too much. I can't just enjoy this show. I like it still. I just think
no,
I'd like
it
more
it.
If I wasn't thinking Tuesday I got to talk about this on the podcast.
Well, we don't have to go into detail, although I do want you guys to know what you think at least about the next two, because the next one is really important, I will say, story-wise, and the one after that is the one with the special guest star that you will enjoy.
You know,
and
I just thought of,
it's
funny, I saw the conversation between you and Karen, and Karen's like, why would somebody like Terry O'Quinn go on a stupid show? And Jamie's like, because a lot of people don't think it's stupid. But, you know,
like, I like this show.
But while I'm reading this conversation, I'm thinking to myself, Linda Hamilton's on it too, people.
Yes.
The thing is, it's a silly show. It doesn't need some. And the thing is,
yeah.
And I've said this before, and Karen, I usually am like that. I mean, not a lot of people necessarily connect with comedy. I am usually not one of those people. I usually would probably be right there along with you. I like very few comedy shows. I was a big fan of Big Bang Theory. And I like this, and I think it's funny. And granted, there's been, you know, some in and out that I've watched. But I'm usually not a big comedy person. But I don't know. I just find this show so funny, even though it is, like, you know, dick jokes and things like that. Yeah, it's just nice. It's light. With all that's going on in the world, I find it a nice reprieve. But we don't need to go deep into it, though, I don't think. But, this is when they get high.
Well... Yeah, and of course the highlight, I think, for every single person, the highlight was Nathan Fillion, right, as the voice of the octopus.
I didn't even realize
he
was the voice of the octopus.
Oh, yeah.
Although,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though?
Oh, I caught that immediately.
Well, there's also
I caught that
either A, I'm stupid and missed it, which is very possible, but also B, sometimes they do like ADR after the fact, so since I watched a screener, it's possible it wasn't him. But thinking about it now, I think it sounded like him, and I just didn't connect it for whatever reason, so it was probably just I was stupid and missed it. But, that makes it funnier.
It was great to see these two Firefly guys together again, and, you know, Nathan Fillion is good. And I also love the idea that octopuses are actually aliens, right? They're not normal to Earth. That was a great scene. I mean the being high scene was actually, I thought, you know, all the actors actually, the three of them did a pretty good job of acting high, particularly the woman who plays Asta, I think, did a really good job of playing high. Not that I have any experience with that or have been around people who've done that, but, but that's what I think it might be like if people got high. I thought that was a kind of a fun new human experience for Harry. Like, as you know, I'm kind of sick of the dick jokes and the sex jokes. and it was kind of a fun new thing for Harry to do and to experience this human thing that he has, you know, that they can play for laughs. I liked that a lot. And the way that all played out. I also kind of like that we're making a little progress on the mystery. I kind of like that. I like the way they use the green glow to put Harry, like, we all agree that Max is a highlight of the show, right? And anytime they can put Harry and Max together, those are good scenes. And so I like that they found a way to kind of hook them together more and to move this, the real storyline along, because it hasn't really been moving that much. So I liked that also about this. I liked this episode more than most of them this week.
Like I said, next week I think is like an important one in the mythology of it, and I don't want to say it's more serious. I mean, it's still funny, but it's got more of the actual story shows up in the next one. So.
I mean, I think we all like the wife being gone.
Yeah. That's the one thing about
now,
the show, though, that
I
is different than I thought it was going to be. Like, I knew there would be Monster of the Week type stuff, but I thought it was going to be more overarching with the murder of the doctor. Like, the way the commercials initially formed it was Harry's an alien. He's the new doctor because the other doctor was murdered, and he's going to solve it. So I thought there was going to be a lot more
going all season. I
thought there was going to be a lot more about the murder of the doctor. And honestly, it's just another footnote. It's a monster of the week in itself.
I was just thinking when they found the foot. Sorry. Because you said that.
you know what I mean? Like, it's
that.
Not.
Yeah,
it wasn't intentional. Sorry. It's not the. It's always been a Monster of the Week show, including the main doctor getting killed in the first place. That's just kind of your jumping off point to get things rolling. And from there, it just, I mean, hell, the most mythological thing going is Harry looking for his ship and everything. That's, you know, which is
actually
not what I really thought the show was going to be about.
Now that you mention it, AJ, like, I'm reminded that it's kind of annoying that they just dropped the murder. Like if they would have just solved it in the first week or been like, it wasn't a murder, the guy just, like, you know how it, at first,
they
like, it wasn't
it
a murder.
They solved it now, though, right?
No, they were like, he had a flex shock, so he, no,
okay,
they didn't solve
it
at first.
That, yeah. Okay, that's why I said I don't want to get confused.
At first,
no,
they were like,
the
oh, he went into anaphylactic shock, so he gave himself a tracheotomy and died, but then they found out someone poisoned him, and they really dropped that by the wayside trying to solve that murder.
Well, no, that's not entirely true. I mean, the last 2 weeks, the sheriff has been convinced that whoever stole the prescription pad killed, you know, poisoned them.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Finally, the deputy was like, listen here, stupid. And she beat the hell out of the poor burger. She's like, I'm going to take this meat this later because it's not good to waste food. But yeah, I mean, he's convinced the whole time that whoever took the pad was the killer, and she's like, the two aren't necessarily connected, you know. And then during the interview, she's like, you think that he stole a prescription pad and then had the presence of mind? She's like, no offense, but he doesn't have this quality. And I mean, he's like, oh, none taken, thank you.
Yeah, well, that they will go back to that, too. And I don't think that's
a
spoiler to say that. But
it was kind of satisfying. It was satisfying to see her quit, to freak out and quit, because she really is, you know, I mean, we've seen how Sheriff Mike is so,
he needs,
you know,
to be
so full of himself.
Yeah.
He's so full of himself, and he's so grandiose, and he's not maybe the most competent. And she's so good, and he won't, like, I feel like it's not that he doesn't see it or that he's full of himself and he takes credit for her, but he actually really, I feel like, has this dismissive attitude towards her. Like, I think it goes beyond taking credit because it's not that mercenary. It's more insidious. And it was great to see her. And she lacks confidence, right? Sure. So it was great to see her stand up for herself in that way.
And
I hope that Mike,
awesome.
It'd be nice to see, I mean, it'd be nice to see Mike appreciate her a little more and lean on her a little more and be a little bit less obtuse than he is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll learn. I don't feel learned. I mean, so I know you've seen it, Jamie. So no comments.
Yes, I
but
want just no
she
comment,
should become
yeah.
a pri- she should become a private investigator and pay and solve everything on her own.
She could work on Big Sky. It might make it better now.
Yeah.
First thing I thought. Yeah, let's not go there. Yeah, she's a cool character.
Yeah.
But we didn't at the end of the episode though. I think the big thing is at the end is that he goes after the ship and they fall through the ice. Because they go after him, Asta and Darcy, which is kind of like, why now? Yeah, so that's where they...
That's huge because they're in jeopardy. But there's this also big moment where we see the general, right? Like, so Linda Hamilton's character is called the general, and there are these two people who work for her whose names I don't know. So I'm going to, again, call them Mulder and Scully.
That's good. That's bad Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, so bad Mulder... finds this book.
It's actually smart.
It was really smart, right? And he finds this book about ancient, what do they call them? The Nazca lines? Yeah. What are those lines? You know what I mean. Those, like, ruins in Mexico that people think were made by aliens and whatever. And he has this picture, and the illustration of the book looks exactly like Harry's ship, right? Like, and we find out they totally got Harry's ship. And it looks exactly like this book. And, like, that guy's – it's funny because that guy's really smart, and then the woman who's his partner, Bad Scully, is, like, a total jerk who just wants to kill everybody all the time and won't listen to him. They're actually a little bit like the sheriff and the deputy, except that people listen to Bad Mulder a little more, right?
Yeah.
And the general. So, that was a big step, and then, yeah, everybody falls through the ice together, which is very – that's going to be interesting to see. Like, I wonder if, like, Harry's going to have to pull some alien shit to save them, and those two are going to learn a secret. I mean, I could see that happening, or I could see Bad Mulder and Scully rescuing them somehow. I have no idea where that's going. AJ, any thoughts on where that might be going with them down in the hole, down in the ice? Maybe there's a submarine on the X-Files.
There's a couple ways. Being the show that we're given, I could totally see Harry pulling some alien shit to save them, Asta being completely passed out and seeing nothing, and Darcy seeing it, and then Harry trying to convince Darcy that she's crazy.
Yeah.
And Darcy being like, I might have still been a little high.
Crazy.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a good episode.
I could see something along those lines.
Yeah.
Could be any number of things.
I was impressed about how these characters, so Asta and Darcy, are like, what, he's gone on the ice? This is so dangerous. And you know, they have their snowmobile. They have their rescue kit. They have their supplies. Like, it was interesting. I thought really good how these characters who live in this very remote mountain town have been raised to understand the danger of being out there. Like, I thought that was kind of
Darcy's
interesting
job
and good.
Too, working out there, so. In her
she's an Olympic skier.
Right,
and
but she took
job,
off
and,
those charges or whatever.
Yeah, she works on the avalanche crew and stuff like that. But and Asta also seems to have a good sense of it. I just thought that was kind of a really, on a show that's really light, they've laid the groundwork really well for that, and it paid off in this episode.
I would agree with that.
As much as I hate Darcy, because she's horrible and a horrible character, she actually was pretty good in this episode.
Yeah, she wasn't
was
annoying
like
in this episode,
episode,
really.
No,
yeah,
she
usually
was comic
she's
relief,
very.
But good.
She's very usually very annoying.
Well, she's so ridiculous as to defy any belief that she could function in normal society. Right, that's why I don't like her. Like, she's like so ridiculous as to like defy functionality. But this week she was reined in a little bit, and I like when her crazy's reined in enough that I could believe a person could like live like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I didn't like, and what kind of do we care if the mayor and his wife are having marital problems? Like, I really
oh dear God, the
right.
mayor is so annoying. Like.
So is his wife. And that whole thing
like
about,
I just
like,
don't think because of Max. Like, we don't really need to know about them all that much.
Right?
When they
really...
have the mayor interacting with, like, the sheriff or whatever, like, some of that's funny, but, like, yeah, we don't really need to know.
You know what annoyed me about the mayor this week? When Asta is clearly not in the mood, and he's like, oh, we're dancing. And I was like, oh, my God, just knock him out.
Mm-hmm,
I was like, just punch him. Just get it over with.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, just, no.
Yeah. That felt a little like getting into the territory of too many characters that were getting into their backstories and their story. Like, the mayor, he's dopey, and he's definitely, like, supposed to, like, be, like, a little bit of a trope or a certain kind of a person that moves to a mountain town. And he's incompetent. But, like, when they get into this issue of, like, them having their therapy about Max and all this, like, it was kind of unnecessary. Like, the point, like, Max and Harry, to me, is, like, the crux of that and all I really care about, right? And, like,
right.
Do we care if they have, like, what? I was like, why are we wasting 5 whole minutes on this? Can I get 5 more minutes of Nathan Fillion as an octopus? Because that would be more entertaining.
You're funny.
You know, and it's funny because the whole thing of the wife, that was so stupid. I'm sorry. She's like, I want a partner who challenges me. So he's like, oh, and then, you know, right away, he's going to get carried away and go too far.
Yep.
But it was like, who cares?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, who cares? Yeah. I mean, so sometimes I complain about shows where kids don't have parents, but, like, I would like
this kid
to have
less parents.
Yeah, I usually
wouldn't complain about
kids.
Oh, this is one time the kid's better than the parents. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God. That kid is better than 90% of the people on this show.
Well,
yeah, I would
kid's
also
awesome.
That.
The kid's great. The kid is great.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's a great little actor, and it's a great role, and it's well written.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one. Next up.
All right.
Let's talk about debris because we can do debris. We can defense of debris more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I once again really like this, but you guys seem to always feel different than I do. So I'm curious, what did you guys think? Ooh, excuse me. Did you like this one better?
I have some issues with this episode, particularly the dialogue sometimes on the show really bothers me. And I liked at the core of the show was a piece of debris that actually did something and they actually learned something. So for most of the episode, they're like, we can't find the debris. But when they find it, they're like, maybe this debris is like a piece of GPS that was for the navigation and we can blah, blah, blah. And I felt like there was actually like a little bit of progress made on what the debris can do. I don't love always the emotional element where they're like, oh, if you can just like, if she can feel more, we can communicate with her. But there was a little bit of action on what the debris is and can do. So I like that. I don't love the bit going on with Maddox, but it at least advanced. I mean, the two main villains have done zero for 3 episodes, so I felt like at least that moved somewhere.
I don't know that
so,
I consider him necessarily a villain. I mean, he works for the government, the NSA, but we don't really know necessarily.
Okay, he is actually
going around
with the two main black market sellers of debris. So that makes him
Maddox,
not
isn't
really...
It? Maddox is after them. Unless you're talking about somebody else, you're mixing up their names.
He was there
yeah,
in the woods with them. He made a deal with them to trade a piece of debris for what the Russians want.
Oh, they're trading debris, yeah. But that's,
that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I take it maybe our government needs that piece of debris he's trading. I didn't necessarily take that to be that he's bad.
I'm pretty sure anybody who's working against the interest of our two main characters is like a villain, a bad guy. But anyway.
I guess. I feel like they don't really know a lot of it, though, either. But
anyway, so there were some elements of that. I didn't, you know, and I kind of liked the end, which I felt was a little bit of an homage to Close Encounters. I liked the way that was shot at the end. But in general, I'm not loving the way, like, this is another week in a row where the mystery is linked to emotion. And I just... I guess I thought I was watching a more scientific show, and
yeah.
I'm a little not in love with that.
See,
AJ,
I was
going
to say, sorry, go ahead.
Jenny, what did you think? Go, Jenny, go.
No, I was just going to say, I had thought, and I told you guys, because I thought, like, the beginning, because the first two just happened to be sort of similar, I didn't think that it was going to continue on with that kind of, like, thing about human emotions and connections and that. But it seems like maybe it will. I don't mind that. I mean, I kind of do, in a way, think that it maybe would be better if it was more science fiction and less about that, but it doesn't bother me that it is. I think the case was interesting and how it was like sort of basically a pocket universe is what I kept calling it. I was thinking of Doctor Who, it was like a pocket universe.
Good. I never thought of that, Jamie. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff with that whole thing in the universe kept making me think of Fringe. I mean, there's definitely like I can see kind of it's in that. I mean, it's not really in that universe, but I mean, I kind of get that like fringy feeling from it. But yeah, I like the story this week. I thought it was interesting, and then finding out about the you know other universes and that, and that they I liked how they used it. I thought that thing was like a projector or something. I thought it was going to be, but I do agree. I liked how like they were able to move it around and stuff, and actually use it and make it work and understand things a little bit better, which was cool. I keep thinking obviously that he's not telling Fiona about her father, and that it's going to blow up in his face, but like I said last week, it's kind of like now there's a lot more to it. It's not just like saying, hey, your father you thought was dead isn't dead, because we don't know. But the thing is now it could just be he's alive, because I don't know. I mean, I have to assume that if she was with him in the morgue, she would have known if he wasn't dead. But at the same time, why did they swap bodies then? That made me think maybe like he took something to make himself look dead and faked his death, because he was supposed to have committed suicide, right? So I was thinking maybe he, like, faked his own death, and that's why they swapped it for a real body. But it wasn't really clear, so I guess that we'll have to find out. But as for Maddox, I don't know. See, I took it, and maybe it's because I'm going by, too, what the actor had said in those interviews. Like, all the different governments, you know, around the world are trying to use the debris and find what they can. And I don't know. I just took it more like, yes, he's doing things he's not telling them, but, like, he works for the NSA, and I feel like what Fiola and I keep wanting to call him Tucker. Don
Brian.
Brian. I feel like they're not necessarily in on that because they aren't that part of the government. So I don't necessarily – I mean, I could be totally wrong. I just took him more of he's like, well, you know, maybe they don't really care about that piece of debris. Maybe there's something that the American government's after more than that. So maybe it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because he's not working with that. Because the way you said that, I get now you meant the guy he was in the car with. I thought at first you meant that he was in league with, I can't remember the name of the group, but Scroobius' character. I thought was what you meant at first.
Interpol.
But yeah.
I
know what you
mean. Influx.
Yeah, he's
Influx?
Not. I don't think he's with Influx. He's going after Influx. I mean, he's a shady government guy, but I don't know that I necessarily think he's against Brian and them. But that was just kind of my take of it. But yeah, I would like to know more about the ship and the pieces that they're putting together and everything. I do think maybe more sci-fi-ish and less about that, maybe better. I don't know, but it does not – like, I like that it's, like, got a good – like, yeah, it was a little sappy in a way, but, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't mind that, like, thing, like, about all the, you know, the father and the daughter were connected. I don't know that I needed the whole thing about, like, somehow she was talking to him in his dreams. That was a little bit much. But other than that, yeah, I still like it a lot. What about you, AJ? It's your turn.
I'm still having a problem feeling like it just – nothing's happening. It's like nothing is happening at all. I want the mythology. You can give me the Monster of the Week, but give me the mythology too, and I don't feel like we're getting it. I feel like we got a bunch of people who kind of sort of know what's going on. You got Maddox throwing chairs into one piece of debris
like
and it's coming out the other side. You know, I mean...
They came out so smoothly. I wondered if there's, like, a little alien or something pushing it through. Because he'd throw it real hard, it was like... No, that was the first thing I wondered. I don't know if that was intentionally supposed to be come out nice and neat. I think it was just the way they did it, but that was what I thought. Watchmen.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, one thing I noticed that I kind of liked, I noticed Fanula's very emotional, and it's interesting because she's MI6, but she's not your typical MI6 agent. She's very compassionate. And I think it's interesting, not to say that Brian isn't, but I kind of like the way Brian always sits back and lets her do her thing. He never tries to convince her otherwise. He kind of like lets things play out. And it's like you can tell he wanted to save the people too, but he wanted to hold that part of him back, because he already knew she was going to succeed. It's like he doesn't want to play his cards if he doesn't have to, if she's going to get the result that he already wants. You know, I've noticed that a couple times now where he just kind of sits back and lets her go, you know?
Interesting.
I've noticed that a couple times
now.
Yeah,
that is interesting that he lets her.
You're right.
I haven't really thought of it that way. So one of my favorite parts of this episode was the science guy. That character is named, I want to say Munch, which is not his name. His name is Munch. I liked Munch, the science guy, who clearly has such disdain for Brian, which I really enjoyed. That he's like, oh, you know, like you're like an army cowboy, and I'm a scientist, kind of thing going on. I liked that the science. We had a scientist because neither Brian nor Fanula appears to really have any qualifications to be having to have this job. I mean, they're not like we had a real scientist who I mean, there are some other characters on the show, but he had this real role, which I liked. And I kind of really liked when that moment where he was a jerk, where Fanula's like, listen, we can use the debris to open the plane maybe and get to Nicole. And Munch is like, no, we're not wasting the energy. Like the debris is running out of energy. And we cannot lose access to these secrets because it's important for our government to have this. And both Fanula and Brian are like, no, forget it. We're saving these people.
Yeah, and it's surprising that they're allowed to do that and they're not having to, like usually in shows, the characters would have to go against everybody to do that. It's interesting that everybody lets them do it. It makes it different. But I agree.
You mean that they move to save people and not to...
Right. Usually in the shows, the government would have taken over and they would have had to fight to get that. I find it
but
interesting
they are the
that they're not... Well, yes, but I mean, usually, like in a show, there's like bigger bosses like trying to stop them. Like that's part of the thing
right.
they have
like
to.
Like the X-Files thing, where somebody would swoop in and sort of like take over.
Right.
And this show doesn't have that because I think Fanula and Brian's agency are the people who would have swept in and taken over everything. Like they've already swept
right.
in and taken over when at the beginning of every episode.
Right. Right.
Like
but
local
yeah, we
police
need his,
or whoever calls
that kind of character doing that. I agree. I
like that both of our characters made that decision and that we didn't have to see Fanula and Brian argue about that.
Right.
Like they both were like, no, we're saving people, which should be the role. So Fanula says, if we don't use this technology to save people, we don't deserve to use it, or whatever she says there. And while I felt like that is the character they've established, I just feel that was like a poor piece of writing.
It was
badly written and kind of dumb. But I mean, that,
well, she
that
thinks
is,
the
I believe
aliens...
that is what Fanula thinks. I believe that's what Fanula
thinks.
Yeah, she
thinks they gave us this as a gift. Remember, that was kind of her perspective before.
Well, I don't know if she says they gave it to us, but she does.
Well,
no,
she
says
like she
like,
doesn't think she said something like that. It was accidental, was impossible, or something
like
that.
She feels it's not a coincidence
like, she thinks
that
they're
came
right.
To her.
Right, and
doesn't mean they gave it to us. It might mean
not. Yeah, I guess that's
not
the right. I didn't explain that right, but yeah, thinks that they know, like knowingly gave, like not. That's not
or they were coming
right,
around
you know
here
what I mean.
For a reason or something.
Yeah, like that it wasn't just that like they crashed and they don't know about it type of thing.
Yeah, but yeah, I liked that our two characters were aligned on that. Like I think when this show began, I maybe thought that Brian was going to be more like the untrustworthy partner who was reporting on Fanula or whatever. And I you know, it, like, in that scene, he was like, I mean, he's
right,
not just in
her.
That scene, but he's more clearly aligned with her and sympathetic to her than I maybe suspected early on.
Yeah. As I said, I'd really like to see me be surprised and have him actually tell her, even though he's not allowed, which I kind of understand it's his job and he's not allowed, but I'd even like him to be like, hey, you're going to find out something when you go back to your country, and I want to tell you, but, you know, with our job we can't, and I don't want you to hate me, or, you know, just be like, when you find this out, you can talk to me type of thing. Like, I'd at least like to see something in that. I don't think it'll happen, but I'd like to be surprised and have it happen.
So, about Maddox and his, like, you know, working with the guys from, I want to come back around to that. And Jamie, I do think, Jamie, that when we talk about these kind of characters, often you are inclined to, I'm going to say give the benefit of the doubt to that character. You have a more open mind, I think. Like, I'm always like, oh, that guy's bad. Well, what really is bad? Like, does he think he's bad? Or does he, and that's fair, right? That's fair. You know, you
it's
made
like Skinner.
Me think.
Skinner
we were
was never
about
bad.
Earlier.
Kirsch was never bad. No, I know what you're saying, but you're right.
Yeah.
I do kind of do that.
But we had this little thing where his housekeeper, not really his housekeeper, but it turns out that I think it's the aide for his son. He's got this son who's like in a wheelchair, right? And the caretaker is like, you got to come home now. Your wife's not home. And he's like, I got to leave. And his boss is like, wait a minute. Let me talk about this big thing. And then he's like, okay, I got to go. And then it was weird that, like, okay, two things. Like, one, does that give us insight? Like, do you think maybe he's working with these people to
protect
because he needs money? Or because he thinks it's going to cure us. I don't know what that's about. And then I thought it was a little weird that, like, he gets this text that says, like, he got this text that's like, okay, Julia, your wife is home. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And I was like, that's kind of weird, like, because he could have just been like, okay, and run out the door. And, like, I didn't really understand why they played it out that he gets a text that it's like, it's fine. Like, the part where he's a concerned father who has to leave, like, humanizes him a little. And it just surprised me that they finished the scene that way. Like, why didn't he just then run out and go home? Like, am I reading too much into that, you guys? What do you think, AJ? Am I reading too much into the wife coming home at the last second? And am I reading too much into...
I thought that was very convenient.
Like, was it even real, right? Like, I was like, oh, it's somebody else saying, like, you got to get home. And, yeah, maybe I'm too suspicious.
That's right. He got a text. She called, and then he got a text. It's weird that she didn't call back, though, isn't it? Like, instead of texting.
She calls. She's like, come home, and then he gets a text.
And then she just sends
the
text, so it's fine. Yeah, maybe the text is from somebody different. I guess there's that possibility. But I don't know. I think it was just to show he cared about his family. And I hadn't thought. You could be right with kind of what you – I think you were starting to get to this point. You didn't say it, but I think you were starting to get there. Maybe he thinks, like, the alien technology can help his son or something. That would be –
that's possible.
Would also make sense. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think anything about it until you mentioned it. But it is kind of strange that, like, she was, you know, made a point of calling him, and then instead of calling him back, she was like, oh, it's fine. Like, that's kind of strange. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, yeah. And I guess they've humanized him with the son. They've humanized, you know, they also gave Fanula the sister who's on drugs, and the one time we saw her on the phone, there's, like, this guy in the bed, and then she's like, okay, I'll leave. And yet Brian is very much not, I mean, we know that Brian is traumatized. He was in Afghanistan. He's traumatized to the extent that any person would be. I don't think he's, like, necessarily, I've seen, like,
he doesn't necessarily have PTSD, but he's...
Yeah, I haven't seen an excessive amount of, you know, I think he a little bit was like, okay, the war's over, what do I do next? So let me join this secret agency. But we haven't really learned much about him, although, I mean, he's very sympathetic to Fanula. But he, I guess maybe we'll see that. Maybe he's the last character to get a family and a backstory.
I think whatever happened to that woman in the picture, I think there's something that is hurting him that he won't talk about.
I can't believe I'm misinvested in talking as much about the show because I texted you guys that I fell asleep when I was watching it because I thought it was boring. But also the excuse that I lost an hour of sleep, as we all did, and maybe that's why I fell asleep watching
that. Yeah, I'm wondering if that's why I'm so sleepy. I told you, I was, like, trying to stay awake till the podcast. I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I was, like, seriously falling asleep.
I guess I actually liked this week more than I don't know. I don't want to give the impression that I think it's great, because I do not think it's great. I think it's a little bit of a mess. But this week, making it to the third week, it's starting to maybe be a little bit better for me. And make a little
I'm still
more
waiting for
sense.
I'm still waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Nothing has really happened. Like, they go over this debris. And by the way, the debris always looks to me, do you ever see those desk toys that are like a million little, like, diamond-shaped pieces of metal that are magnetized together and you can play with it and make little sculptures and stuff on your desk? That's what it always looks like to me.
Yeah, like the little hexagons.
Desk toys.
That's why it was
strange
that one piece of debris that he looked at and that showed the Russian, it was like one big pipe or something. I thought that was kind of odd that piece looked different.
That did look very different. I would love to see them jump on, and with Joel Wyman being on it, this episode, like, maybe it was huge because in this episode, they talk about the existence of different dimensions, right? Not just three, but Noel's father thinks there could be up to 11 dimensions.
Yeah, and he's talking about the places on the map. I was thinking about that. Definitely reminded me of Fringe and the spot. I can't
really
recall, but like the soft spots or whatever.
I didn't really follow this bit how it's like they're curled up, but in some places they're uncurled or whatever. And it didn't really make sense. But I think, Jamie, your definition, if you watch Doctor Who, of a pocket universe is exact. Or, I mean, not just Doctor Who. We've seen pocket universes, I think, on Fringe. Everybody knows what that is, but the idea
I think it was just kind of like they're not accessible.
Or
and
pocket
like
dimension.
Yeah, I took it almost more like they're not accessible and they found a way to get.
Yeah, but that is a very fringy kind of a thing, and it would be cool to see that play out. Like, were these aliens traveling through different dimensions, and can humans access it? Like, that would be a show that could be really good and be sustained. You know, AJ is very good at talking about sustainability of storytelling. And is this a sustainable story? Maybe not, because it's already boring after 3 weeks. But the idea of these different universes or different dimensions, that could be a sustainable story for 3 or 4 seasons probably.
That.
Right? I think the three of us could get into that show if it was good. Will that show make it on?
Yeah.
Is this on NBC?
I don't know. I feel like that's probably only a small part of the show, though. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's only a small part. We will see.
Good old NBC.
Yeah. But yet Manifest goes on, so.
Yeah, at least it has a chance of getting a second season.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll warrant one. I mean, I don't mean like I want it to, you know, suck and not get one anyway.
Well, look,
but I mean,
second season, all bets are off this year because there's almost nothing on due to COVID. And I think a lot of shows might get a second season that maybe wouldn't have 2 years ago.
That's true.
Anyway, have we exhausted this program? Should we move on to the grand finale?
Yeah, let's move on to Snowpiercer.
I don't know. I like it more than you guys do, I think, so I'll have to wait.
Oh, Snowpiercer.
Excuse me. That was loud and unexpected. All
aggravated.
Right. You talk about stuff not happening. Stuff happened on Snowpiercer this week, at least.
Uh-huh.
Like, stuff happened.
Yeah, stuff definitely
I didn't
happened.
I didn't like the stuff that happened.
You didn't like what happened.
No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, this was
no, I didn't.
Like I said with the other episode, there's so many times I just don't understand why they didn't do anything. Like, before you guys talk, I got to tell what I'm pissed about. The one thing that irritated me more than anything this episode is, I get that they can't necessarily completely hide him and people are going to find out and that was bad. I get that. But after they let him fix the thing himself, let him take over for that other guy, maybe the other guy wasn't going fast enough. I can maybe even buy that. But why does Layton let him run to the intercom? Why didn't he just stop him? It's three men against one. They did not have to let him tell all of Snowpiercer he saved the train. That pissed me off really bad. That's what I got to say about that.
You know what pissed me off, Jamie?
Okay.
They didn't kill him.
Well, that too, but yeah.
Well,
kill him before anybody knows he's there.
We want Sean Bean's character to die, right? It's like, don't kill him. This time we want them to kill his character.
Oh, it's not even that.
So,
oh, my God. I just – and you know what, though?
So,
I hate it,
badly.
But I love
problem.
It. I hate
irritated.
It, but I love it. Like the fact that it irritated me that much tells me that it's good. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But I just didn't understand why they just let him go. And, I'm a little confused. I guess it's just that the majority of the people on the train now are siding with Wilfred, so that's why he puts the other ones in storage and arrests them. I mean, is that why he took them? Because I was kind of, like, confused why the hell he was taking the cop, or not the cop, you know what I mean, the brakeman, whatever. I still get them mixed up, but you know who
Roche.
I mean.
Roche.
Yeah, Roche. And taking, putting him and his family in cold storage, is that just because they're kind of like Wilfred won, so anybody that was against him is getting punished?
No. I think we
didn't quite
saw
get
that.
No,
I think we saw that Wilfred was eliminating all the leaders on Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm.
So he took Audrey. Audrey was a leader, and he took Audrey, he took Josie, he took Layton, and he took Roche, who are four leaders of different parts of the train. He took four really good leaders. He has not gotten Ruth, who maybe wasn't a leader, but I'm excited to see Ruth perhaps emerge as a leader next week.
Yeah.
Given the vacuum there. But I think the reason Roche, they're all what's surprising, AJ, you talk about not killing him. He didn't kill Layton, he didn't kill Roche. I mean, I can still not killing Audrey or Josie, but he hasn't killed these two,
I guess,
others who were great leaders, and I kind of wonder about that.
I kind of wonder, though. I guess I just kind of wonder, like, why, just because Layton's not going to be the leader, does that mean he's going to arrest them? Like, everybody's on his side, and it's like he can just get rid of everybody. Like, nobody seems to care,
Layton led an insurrection against Wilfred. Whether or not Wilfred really existed, and whether it was Melanie, Layton led an insurrection on the train. He led a civil war on the train.
But that's, again, just like Roche's wife is like, we lived with Wilfred's rule for 7 years. And I keep, every time they said it, just think, no, you didn't. Like, you did not. You lived with Melanie's rule. Nobody seems to, like, grasp this. Everybody thinks Wilfred is, like, this good thing because their way of life was working. This is not the same way of life, and they're going to find that out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of liked this episode. So I had frustrations with this episode, but
I
think
it
was a good...
I was frustrated, but I liked it.
I liked the pieces of it.
I mean, considering that next week is the season finale, this really put a lot of things in
week
motion.
Week after.
It looks like it isn't on next
week. I don't think.
All right, whenever it is, it's a two-hour episode.
There's only eight episodes?
The next episode is 2 hours. This was episode 8 tonight, right? This week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. No.
Yeah.
No, this is 7.
All right, so maybe there's only 9. The promo I saw was on the neck, on the two, the promo I saw said on the 2-hour season finale.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Correct. Yeah, it's
no, this was 8. You're right. Yeah, this was 8.
I think this
okay, I didn't realize
the
finale was 2 hours.
Yeah. It did a good job of moving things around, and a lot happened, which was really great. So there were parts I didn't like, and I really find Wilfred to be so unlikable as to be almost like I don't like watching him. Like, to me, he's not a good villain. There are villains that you love watching, and there are villains that I just want to turn off the TV when they're on, and he's moving
kinda
into
like
Negan territory.
Yeah.
He used to be a governor, and now he's a Negan. And he's so
horrible. You know what it is?
This week he was a little better.
It's because he makes you so, and this credit, it goes completely to Sean Bean. He's great at this. He makes you so uncomfortable just being on screen.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes,
and
he doesn't
have to do a lot. It's just, it's those, that, like, a sneer that he gives, or just a little smirk, or even just one word, and all of a sudden you just feel dirty and uneasy, and you want to get clean.
Yes.
Oh, he's right.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
I think, some of his speeches, though, were a little not always written great, but you're right.
Although he's supposed to be, like, an egomaniac, but you're right.
And you're supposed
he's
to
a
not
sociopath.
Like
the dialogue can,
yeah.
Dialogue
yeah.
can
he's
be
a sociopath,
problem.
So yeah.
Yes. But Jamie, you're not wrong. The dialogue and his speech line can be a little bit of a problem. I did like this episode the way, like, his master plan played out really well. And we saw that he's got this plan that he's been working on really forever, like pretty much since the day he got on Big Alice, he's been planning this. takeover of Snowpiercer, right? And I liked that we also saw that he's actually, like, a really good engineer. Like, everything we've seen on Big Alice, he's
in
his bathroom and makes Alex do all the, right?
This is the situation bathrobe.
No, he does. He sits around in the bathroom and he makes
I think the situation never mind. I misunderstood what you said.
He sits around
in his bathroom. Makes more sense.
And
okay.
does nothing. But we saw in this episode that he really is a brilliant engineer. Like, he built this train with Melanie. It was his vision. And we really saw that he really knows how to drive the train, which is a little bit more like the character in the movie. The Ed Harris character in the movie is an engineer, right? And we saw that he really knows what he's doing. And we saw, I mean, importantly, we saw that he really doesn't need Melanie to drive it. Like, Melanie is not needed, right? And we saw really, I think, I understand how Alex became the engineer. Really, Wilford taught her everything she knows. So all of that, I think, was really great. And that sort of put the nail on the coffin for Lee. Like, because when things went wrong in the engine, so what do you guys think? I think it wasn't totally Wilford's plan. I think the whole thing with IC Bob was the plan, but for the spike to go into the computer was not the plan, right?
No, I think he just thought they'd ask for, well, I don't know. I think that he thought that they'd have to ask for the part and he would be the savior. I don't think he expected it to go wrong the way it did. When they
it
had
went further than
they
he expected.
Or whatever.
I don't think he thought they'd need
it went
the part.
Further
I
than he expected.
Spike,
really?
Yeah, I thought the spike
would
cause
the leak. I thought
he just
didn't know about the override that Melanie made.
Yes.
I thought, like, that was what was
Yes,
kind
the
of
spike
up.
Would cause the leak. They would continue to lose fluid, and he'd have to fix it. He did not expect that it would stab exactly perfectly into this little piece of computer. Come on, you can't ask
that. Yeah,
that
was.
That.
Yeah, no, that was
that,
that was just a bonus.
Yeah.
I know. I think part
Melanie,
of it was maybe something they didn't explain, though, because I thought the thing about them. I think the thing about them needing a new piece of equipment was his plan all along.
Yes,
he was the only one
to
provide it. But yes, if it. But I get what Karen's saying. The reason why they needed a new piece was the way it hit the computer. And, yes, I think that he would not have expected. I think that, though, was just like they didn't – was maybe like
you guys,
a little
that was not the plan. That was – you guys, that was not the plan because Boki was not supposed to be alive. Last week there was an attack on all the Breachmen, and the point was they were all killed, but Boki got saved at the last second. And
let me finish.
When Icy Bob goes outside and sticks the spike in a very sort of physical way of not Boki was not supposed to be alive, and Boki goes out and comes back and is like, oh, by the way, I figured it out. And I really think it was just chance that the spike hit this random part of the computer that Melanie happened to have hacked. I think the spike was supposed to cause the leak that would have caused Snowpiercer to lose power. I think all that was, but whatever. As AJ said, it was just a bonus. It was a bonus, and it worked out that because I think what he expected was that the train would have, Snowpiercer would have lost fuel, it would have stopped, and then he would have come and fixed the train. I don't think that Wilford ever would have engineered a scenario that gave Leighton the opportunity to sneak him in and do this little tiny repair. I think he was looking for a more catastrophic failure, and I just think it didn't work out, but I think that it played out in a way that allowed him to improvise. Unfortunately for Leighton, it played to Wilford's strengths. Like, Wilford is this charismatic guy who he always turns a bad situation to his favor, right? And I think in terms of Leighton, I think you're right that Leighton should not have let him get to the microphone, but I also think it was too late. Like, the train was on the brink of total rebellion, and once word got out that Wilford was on the train, it was over anyway.
That's true, but I still feel like he could have tried to salvage it and not let him. And again, they could have killed
Leighton,
him, but that's just
I think
story.
Leighton gave in rather than cause more lives to be lost, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm not sure stopping him from getting the radio would cost lives.
Plain
but
and simple,
right.
Leighton lost
yeah.
the minute Big Alice hooked up to Snowpiercer. I mean,
yeah.
Wilford, I mean, he is so – Leighton is so overmatched and so outplayed. I mean, if they were playing chess, it would have taken 5 minutes for Wilford to knock his ass out. I mean, Leighton had no clue. He made awful decisions as a leader. Even without Wilford, Leighton was an awful leader. And it was just inevitable that he was going to lose. With Melanie off the train, Leighton had no hope at all. No hope at all. And I think that's part of the reason Wilford, you know, Wilford, it was a win-win for Wilford. Getting Melanie off the train, either A, she's going to die, or at the very least, she's off the train, now Leighton's by himself. It's divide and conquer on his part.
Yep. My question though now is that he's in charge of both of them. Is he even going to go get Melanie, or will he only go get Melanie because what's-her-face will try to force him?
I think now we know why 2 weeks ago we saw the train pass by Melanie. Now I feel more that it's not a hallucination, that it really happened.
I honestly...
passes her and doesn't stop. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not sure because... I'm just not sure. It's
it could go
because,
either way, I think.
Like, we don't know where in the time frame that part at the end of Melanie's episode, where that takes place with where we're at with Snowpiercer. I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out in 2 weeks when we get the finale. But I'm confused by it still. I'm not, I mean, you could very well, you could very well be right, Karen. I'm just not sure.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
I think it could go either way.
I got a couple more things for you guys.
Okay. Please.
What do you think about LJ and Osweiler?
I thought he was gay. I know there was a thing.
I said the same thing.
People for blowjobs, but he might have just wanted blowjob. I mean, maybe he was bi. I don't know.
I
not that it matters, but I thought that
well,
was.
That's what Artie said. That's exactly what Artie said. Artie said, I don't know, maybe he's gay or maybe he's bi. I was like, okay, yes, sure, fair enough.
I mean,
that's
what I kept thinking. He was the guy that was selling, what was it, drugs, whatever he was training him for blowjobs. So, and not
he
women
was
giving blowjobs
for drugs.
So.
Yeah,
from men,
but,
not from
I mean,
women. So,
that's just business, Jamie. That's just business.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, he definitely was by. I just think that they had it, that you were supposed, the way it was played out, you thought he was gay, and it was kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But.
So I'm not sure if I thought it was gay, but whatever. Setting that aside, these two have become friends. Like, they're the two lowest of the low on the train, I feel like, right? Like, they're terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
she, evil and crazy.
What they've both done, what they, I mean, he's bad also, what they've both done, and they're kind of, like, low when they've become aligned together. I kind of don't mind the storyline where they're trying to climb their way up the ladder and where Osweiler says, listen, LJ, just clean up the water and let's just make ourselves really useful and try, like, that part I kind of get.
And actually do their job.
Thing.
Yeah.
But this little budding romance, what do you guys think about that?
I don't, see, to me, she can't be redeemed and she's evil and crazy and I don't even care.
I can't stand
that's
LJ. I can't stand LJ.
I feel bad for him. I'm kind of like, why is he friends with her? It's more because he was, yes, he's bad in that, but he at the beginning was somewhat of a friend to Till. He isn't as evil as she did, at least not that I can remember. Maybe I'm misremembering something, but she's just insane and a murderer. So I just don't care, period.
So
you know what, though, Jamie?
Of,
there's a reason they didn't invite him back to be, you know, when Leighton took over, there's a reason they didn't invite him back into the fold. I mean, he is.
He's not as bad as LJ.
I kind of feel like he is.
Straight up murdering people and cutting their penises off. I don't know.
Well, yeah,
but,
there is
I mean,
that.
Yeah.
And stabbed her father's eyeball out, you know, all those things.
I mean, he's
like
certainly.
Like, in her mouth, so.
He's certainly corrupt, and he was selling drugs and trading sex for drugs and whatever, and he's but she's sort of a serial killer. Serial mutilator, so she's worse in that sense. I personally felt like when I saw them have their very cute little moment, I was like, wait a minute, don't even try to redeem these two characters. As Jamie says, she can't be redeemed, right? LJ cannot be redeemed.
Right.
And I feel like just to see them having their little romance together, like, I'm not averse to seeing them try to social climb their way back up, but to see them have a bothered me also.
Yeah.
Okay. So I also wanted to ask you guys about Miss Audrey. And let's go to AJ
first. I think she's faking.
Because,
sorry. Go ahead.
Because we all have opinions, and I don't want to all talk at the same time. AJ, Miss Audrey.
It's funny you say that because I wanted to bring that up before we finished. I have no flipping idea. I want to believe she's playing the long con. I'm not sure. It's hard to say. Like, Artie and I were actually talking about it, and he thinks she's totally sold out. I'm not 100% sure. I won't be surprised if she's sold out, but I want to believe that she's dealt with Wilfred enough before that she knew he was going to win this round, and she's hanging back, getting him to trust her, so when the time comes, she can totally turn the tables on him. And I think it's going to play out interestingly because we also have now have Icy Josie. There's a reason they showed us her with her sticking her arm out the window and nothing happening to her hand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think it's and now we're going to have Leighton on Big Alice. But I think it's interesting the way they've kind of moved the pieces around, and I think Audrey's going to play a big part one way or the other.
Jamie?
I think that it's long con. I think that Audrey, though, if she had to maybe stick with him and do what he said, I don't know that she would necessarily not do that. But I do think that she's biding her time and is going to try to eventually turn things on. I think that she has to make it look like she's telling Josie those things, but she doesn't know her. She can't trust her. But I think she was kind of feeling her out, but I'm hoping she's still on Leighton's side, and maybe I'm just more hoping it, but I agree well, go ahead. Tell us what you think about that. And then we'll talk about Josie. Cause I want to talk more about what happened with Josie. What do you think, Karen?
So I was thinking until now that Audrey was trying to con Wilfred, that because she knows him so well, she had to stay. And when she had the opportunity to go back over to Snowpiercer, she stayed because it's important for Wilfred to think that. And if he's an egomaniac, he'll never see it. But this guy started to think, like, she's really changed sides. Like, particularly when she talks about how she's just so tired of having to, like, fight all the time and having to, like, be so strong. And she just really, like, I'm starting to feel like she gave in. I also feel like it's important to show Wilfred's control. And I mostly think that for Audrey to be playing a long con, it's just a little too obvious. And the unexpected, that's what every fan is hoping is happening, thing would be for Audrey to really have, for Wilfred to have succeeded in taking Audrey off the chessboard. Like, Audrey was a leader on, like, I just really started to see it as Wilfred neutralizing all the leaders. And given that Audrey was the therapist to the entire train, and Audrey knows everybody's secrets, and while she's never met Josie, does Audrey know that Josie and Leighton were together? I'm not sure if she knows that or not.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
I think she does.
She knows that? Yeah. So yeah. I feel like putting her on Wilfred's side of the chessboard is a little bit of a, if I'm a writer, is that a better decision, right? I just... Like, every single person who watches the show is hoping that Audrey hasn't gone over. And if I'm, I don't know. I'm starting to feel like, I don't know. With AJ, like you said, I'm not sure. And I felt like her conversation with Josie. So, I mean, Jamie, so you read it like an overture.
But you're right. I might just want her to be playing more than she is.
I'm not really sure. I mean, I want her to be playing it also. I want her to be in deep cover also, but I'm not sure that Audrey is that strong. Like, she warned Leighton. She warned Leighton right when Leighton asked her to do it. She's like, I don't know if I can do it. And he's like, just try. And so maybe she couldn't do it. The fact of what she did to Kevin last week to me is a huge sign. Like, she... Like, this guy's been tortured, and she basically, like, shaped his mind up so he can go back to being, like, in this very slavery kind of situation. It was what she did last week was really bad.
It was, but I feel like she did what she had to do. And I don't know either. I mean, I'm just guessing. But
yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little... I'm not sure what she's going to do. It'll be interesting to see if she yeah. Particularly now that Leighton... So it's interesting to me also, you guys, I just thought of this now, but we saw Roche and his whole family were put in the drawers, right? So Roche's mm-hmm. daughter and wife are put in the drawers also, which surprised me a little bit, because why... First of all, how did Wilfred get those two? Why did that happen? But Leighton is not in a drawer. Like, why do you keep Leighton? Why not kill? Like,
we don't really
okay,
know.
So,
yeah,
so AJ brought up
Leighton?
AJ brought up why doesn't Leighton kill Wilfred? Why doesn't Wilfred kill Leighton?
It's
true. I think he likes having power over people, though. We know that. So I kind of feel like if he kills him, then he can't taunt him.
Like he'd rather break him?
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's actually the thing. Leighton is being sent to Big Alice. Okay. Now
yeah.
I'm Wilfred. Oh, you know, I'm thankful for Leighton for the job he did while I wasn't here. But now that I'm here, you know, I'm going to send him over to Big Alice, and you know, he can
yeah.
live in the laps. You know, I'm gonna do all these nice things for him. He's going to be treated so well on
more.
Big Alice and everything. He's going to go to Big Alice and he's going to be in a cell somewhere. But
well,
the
yeah.
people are all going to think, oh, look how wonderful Wilfred is. He took his adversary and he just, you know, he did these nice things for him. And, did, you know, I mean, I wanted to punch people this episode. It wasn't until Brokey got smart and he was like, when you get
yeah,
a chance, take this coin and shove it up his ass. Because he realizes now Wilfred had his people killed. He gets it now. He realizes now that Wilfred is full of shit.
Yeah,
and,
we should go tell
yeah.
everybody else
but
that.
He's the only one. I mean, that's the problem. Nobody else
yeah.
is going to believe it.
Well,
people
yeah.
are so brainwashed.
No.
So.
Well, people are brainwashed, and you know, I feel like also people want to go back to what was easy. And for most of all, okay, so for the tail, it was horrible. But for most of all on the train, like even if you were in third or second, you didn't have a great life, but you weren't fighting all the time or afraid of getting killed. And people just want to go back, I think, to, like, the easy – I mean, like, this is how, like, somebody, like – this is how certain people get elected in certain countries, where people feel like someone is just telling you, I'm going to solve all your problems, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be somebody else's fault, and it's going to be easier.
But weren't some of the Taillys for Wilfred too? That's what.
Oh, Taillys are screwed.
Or the Taillys aren't the one. Or none of them are for Wilfred, I guess. I don't know why
no.
I thought that one guy was a Taillys.
That's second. That's second and third. That went
okay.
for Wilfred. The Taillys.
Second
yeah,
and third.
That
I kind of understand. You know what? I can't even understand third thinking. Like third was not exactly treated well under Melanie's reign either.
No,
they weren't. No, they
I just don't get that they all seem to act like Melanie was Wilfred. Like, it seems like they just haven't quite gotten it. Because that's why, like I said, when Roche's wife said that, she's like, we lived with Wilfred's rule for 7 years. No, you didn't! That's what people just can't seem to get. And that irritates
me
a lot.
But Melanie's rule was Wilfred's rule.
No, not necessarily. Melanie was her own rules that she said was Wilfred's rule. Wilfred could have completely different rules. We don't know.
But
she made her own rules. Said it was him.
It was the class system that Wilfred had set up when they got on the train.
Yeah.
Like they.
Yeah.
Like,
we don't know.
Melanie didn't
people.
Change anything. It's all the situation that Wilfred like had put in. You know, and I think Roche says his wife is like, oh, you know, Wilfred was great, and Roche is like, actually, he built a train that has holes in it so you can chop people's arms off. And
yeah.
his wife's like, yeah, whatever. His wife's like, yeah, whatever, fine, and doesn't even like really seem to react to that, but. Like, Melanie did follow the rules that were set by Wilfred, I think, for the most part. Like, they
yeah.
lived under the Wilfred laws, even though Melanie was running them.
Yes.
I think Melanie didn't
yeah.
make a ton of changes to that system. Of
course Melanie changed
she
things.
She was Wilfred.
The
Melanie
took
changed
up the shit end of the stick, for the most part.
She changed things as was needed for the situation, but ultimately she it was all what Wilford had set in motion.
Yeah, well, that's my point, Melanie, is they don't know that Wilford's going to continue it that way. It's more...
Well, yeah, that's besides the point.
It's going to only get worse. They don't know that. They think
right.
it's going to be the same way. They all want to go back to their places. Like, they understand. They've lived for 7 years in a certain place, and they just want to go back to that place and not think. And they
yeah.
don't know that it's going to get worse, that he's a gigantic maniac.
Yeah.
Who really built these trains, I think, for his own... Like, I don't think he really wanted to save humanity as he wanted to be the savior of humanity. And be this
yes.
guy who would be like a god, right?
Perfectly,
right?
Yep, yep, yep.
Perfectly stated.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we got
well,
a week off from Snowpiercer.
Wait, we
got
to talk about Icy Bob and Icy Josie.
Okay, quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, Icy Josie and Icy Bob.
So,
Icy Bob, I think, might die soon.
You think what?
How
Josie might.
Icy Bob. How
no,
much
Bob.
Does Icy Bob take?
Yeah,
Icy
I
Bob,
think he
I feel
will.
Like they're preparing Icy Josie to take over, right?
Maybe. But the thing that I think is he went out and, like, he's over time learned to not, like be withstand the cold. I wonder that, like, she sticks her arm out and she's perfectly fine, although I'm wondering why you would risk that and take that chance. But
yeah.
she,
yeah.
other than, you know, it's scripted. But, I mean, she, like, had no problem with it. So I don't know if she's, like, Icy Bob 2.0 type thing. I mean, I think it's pretty
Could
obvious,
be.
Especially when he was trying to help her with her pain, that he wants her to be brainwashed on his side. I don't think she will be. I hope not. But I don't know.
No.
I mean, I don't know he necessarily plans her to be a weapon like Icy Bob, because I don't know that he would expect
mm-hmm.
that would happen.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I definitely think that he probably knows she has power over the people on the other side and that she can convince them he's the good guy, or at least he hopes this. But
I think those two doctors, the Weatherings, that, what are those two doctors are named? Those two weirdo,
the weird ones. I don't know.
Doctors.
I call them Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes, I think Jekyll and Hyde have perfected it on Bob over 7 years. And so for Josie to put her hand out that window pretty quickly,
yeah.
I think that's easy, because I think Bob has suffered and suffered and suffered, and they have
so
found a
it.
Way to do it faster for Josie. I think
she'll go through Melanie.
I think what Wilford's great skill
Ooh, that's
is,
an interesting idea.
Is that... That is an interesting idea, Jamie. But I think that Wilford is able to, he's so charismatic and so compelling. And, he's able to use people's trauma to make them worship him, right? Like, he's got
right.
people who are devoted to him in a way. And we saw him do that with Josie. Like, the way that he's like, oh, Josie, your hand that's chopped off, you can't feel it. And the way he touches her, which was very intimate and sensual in a way, and I don't necessarily mean sexually sensual, but I mean... in the sense that she had these feelings
like close
of like yes. And I think that was Wilford's first step in, brainwashing is not the right word, but the way he like brings people in his thrall.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that was the first step with Josie. Right?
Yeah, he saved her
Josie,
life. He fixed her up. And now he wants
yeah.
her to be beholden to him.
And not only that, but he's giving her sensation back in her hands. And I think that's his first step of making Josie...
Well, I don't think he was giving her sensation back. I think he was just... that's a, like a technique
he was
to keep her mind off the
he
pain.
He was teaching her how to feel sensation in her hand. And yes, and to lose the pain. But
see, I thought
the
it's
kind of pain
to
she's
get
feeling.
That phantom pain away. I don't think it was necessarily to make her feel her hand. I think that's
well,
like
I thought it was to
technique.
Make the phantom pain be more realistic. But whatever it was...
I thought it's
just,
like so she doesn't focus on the pain. I don't know. That's how I took it, but
right.
I guess it really doesn't.
But whatever it was doesn't
Either
really
way.
Matter. It was something about managing her pain in a way that is designed to, like... I don't think Wilford really wants to help her. I think Wilford wants
no,
to reduce
he
her pain
her.
So that she
will
feel grateful to him. Right?
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, that was his first step in converting Josie. And so that's a very dangerous... move. I don't know if he knows that she's in love with Leighton, although she's only in love with Leighton to the point that she's loyal to the, she's more loyal, she loves the tail more than she loves Leighton.
Yes.
She's fully loyal to the tail, but that was a first step. he's really good at that. And so I feel like for Wilford, that's his first step of turning Josie into Icy Josie. Like Icy Bob is, I feel like Icy Bob is maybe nearing the end of his useful life.
Yeah.
The thing is, he's underestimating Josie.
Which is
interesting because I guess I can kind of believe he's underestimating her because he underestimated Melanie and he had his train stolen. So
this is true.
He did, and there was a time I would have said that he underestimated Audrey, but maybe he didn't underestimate Audrey. Like maybe Audrey.
Well, we don't know yet.
Fell into line.
Well, that's the thing.
Yet.
He's so egotistical, and he has duped so many people so easily throughout everything we've seen with him. I guess I can understand why he would underestimate people because in his mind,
yes.
How can anybody possibly not fall for my charms and what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, you're right.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right, so we think they're taking next week off?
They are. I checked. Yep. 2-part finale in 2 weeks.
Okay. That's okay because we got a bunch of other stuff.
Which is kind of stupid. You know, which not for nothing. It's kind of stupid. It's a 10-episode season. And instead of just playing all 10 through, you play 8 and then take a week off. Like, what's the point?
Well, there might be a reason why they're taking off, because a lot of times, like, there's a reason they don't want to air it for, like, because it'll be competing against something.
Or they just want the suspense.
Well, because, yeah, there's no holiday next week, I don't think. And
no,
I don't
but
know,
I mean,
sometimes
usually...
Stuff takes off
yeah, no.
Because of basketball, but
I mean,
think Mark Madness is...
Today's the only holiday this month.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I just don't know.
Today,
it seems strange
now,
that they
Wednesday.
Would just hold it for no reason, like for the reason of making people want to see it. I don't
NBC.
Think that's usually a reason they hold it, but I guess I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's NBC,
yeah, I don't...
so.
Well, it's not NBC. It's TN...
No,
TNT.
Oh,
right?
Sorry, TNT. Sorry,
yeah,
wrong show.
Now.
I was still thinking about what to call it.
Yeah, okay.
Debris.
Yeah, and they're not airing basketball, right? That's on CBS,
no.
I think. March Madness, right?
I don't know. I don't even remember what day of the week.
You know what?
I don't watch it live, so.
You know what? There could be some
games?
March Madness on TNT. There could be TNT
yeah.
basketball. That's
yeah.
possible,
it's
actually.
Running, it's on CBS,
I didn't
CBS,
think about that.
TNT. Yeah, they could have basketball
yeah.
next week. Maybe that's
that makes
why.
More sense.
Yeah. Yep. That would explain it. I didn't even think about March Madness. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
March Madness, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So next week we'll just have
all
one
right.
more show to talk about.
Yeah, and next week we'll be taking the first top part of the show to talk to Gary. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah,
that's
good. That's good that we have one last show to talk about because we have Gary coming next week.
Yeah, that's
so.
This is great.
I'm excited to,
it works
to
out.
Watch his series.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And,
yeah,
he's gonna talk about it, yeah.
So we'll get to see him.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to mention, and you guys don't, I know a lot of times like the shows that I do, but if people are looking for a good mystery show, you know that I've like been like liking mysteries and detective shows and stuff lately. I decided on Prime to watch that Tell Me Your Secrets. I really liked it. It started off a little bit slow, but it started going pretty fast, and it like a lot, especially towards the end, happens because it's I hope they better have a season 2. But I really liked it. It's about its main characters are 2 women. One woman, her daughter has been is missing, and she thinks that the other woman, who is the girlfriend of a serial killer, thinks that she kidnapped her and took her, and she was in prison, and the boyfriend commits suicide, and she goes into protective custody because they don't know for sure she did anything. She doesn't have her memories. But anyway, the things about her remembering what happened and the other woman trying to catch her, and she hires this rapist guy to go after her. It's there's a lot going on. But anyway, it's a really good mystery. I really, really enjoyed it. It's with Lily Rabe and I'm telling you, I'm so horrible at names anymore. I don't know why. The other woman that's in it was that judge on, not a judge, was it a judge? Hold on, let me look. I can't think of her name. I can see her.
Well, Lily Rabe, I really know from
American Horror Story.
Amy
Brenneman.
Judging Amy.
And the other main guy is, I don't know his name for sure, I know him, but Whoa. Hello? What just happened?
Sorry about that.
I accidentally
hit something on Blog Talk Radio and started playing an audio.
Oh, okay. That was whoops. Okay. But anyway, I liked it. If people are looking for something like that, it's a good show. And the other thing is, the other news I see that I meant to mention, I see here on the website that I'm looking at, which is what I'm telling you. As I know you watch it, Karen, Killing Eve is ending with season 4.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. But maybe about time, yeah.
Yeah. I need to watch the end of Discovery of Witches yet. I only have them on screeners because I don't have that network, so.
Yeah, it just ended, so good luck with that.
Yeah, I have screeners. I just got to go watch it. I haven't had a chance. All right, guys. Well,
All right.
I guess that's it. If anybody, like I said, I have doing Wynonna, Manifest, all the Chicago shows. The new Law and Order, I forget what else, there's a bunch of them, but I'll be soon probably posting like kind of what's going on if anybody has any questions and they want to send them. We'll be covering that stuff. So.
Okay.
Alrighty. All right.
Okay, well, have a good night, guys.
All right.
Have a great week,
night, guys. See you next week.
Karen, don't have too much fun at the bar tomorrow night.
The bar? I'm not going to the bar tomorrow.
I know you and your St. Patrick's days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wish I could go to a bar. St. Patrick's Day, I wish I could go to the bar, but no.
Why are they, my other question, why are they opening everything? Not people have not gotten their shots yet. They shouldn't be opening things. Here they're opening everything.
This is not a political podcast, but
there'll
be a show about it, and we'll critique it.
No, I'm just worried about it's going to get worse again. All right.
Pandemic.
Okay, guys.
Movie.
All right.
All right.
good
night.
All right.
Talk to you guys next week.
Good night, you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.